I'm recording too.
I'm recording now.
Gonna be cool like the rest of us.
Wait, what's our topic?
Transformers.
I'm not prepared. This Transformers nonsense.
I'm in the wrong podcast. Goodbye.
Survival. Okay, survival.
Oh, yeah. I have to check the pre-order 66 thread. I had to go after those guys. For talking shit on me.
Episode.
In the latest one?
Yeah, well, while I was recording with them, Crasis was complaining about how long the episode was and how much of a hassle it's going to be to edit. And then for days afterwards, while he was editing, he was complaining about how long it was. And then in this new episode, he's complaining about how long I made their show. But that new episode, 1 minute longer. Didn't hear any complaining.
What the fuck's going on down there?
Bienvenue and welcome to WTF at TFW, your Transformers podcast that comes off of Transformers World TFW2005.com. This is... What was that? I heard something beep. Oh, God. Anyway, welcome, everybody. I thought you were a professional. Bring that one back.
If you would have ignored it.
I thought it was mine for a second. I was like, what?
Now it's going to be really difficult to edit this out.
Don't.
There you go.
Or if you do, complain about it on Twitter for like 5 days.
Don't know what you're talking about. Welcome. And here with me today is Gog Dog.
Hi. Happy 3 days before Christmas.
Yes, it's close to Christmas as this podcast will come, in fact. This year, in 2011. So the next one's going to be real far away. Like a week. Also here today is Seth Buzzard.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Oh, stressed out, tired.
Work
sucks.
Yeah.
I just need to win the lottery.
Well, I'm trying. You know?
Hey, man, you're supposed to drop all that. Be fun.
I'm fun. Huh? Anyway, we are here to talk to you today about Transformers. And we're going to open things up with a very, very, very important topic that I forgot. Nope. Fall of Cybertron, the upcoming sequel to War for Cybertron, has begun its media blitz. There are new concept images, like, every day. But the thing that really caught my interest was the survival kit. This is a steel box that says Fall of Cybertron Survival Kit on it. And it's going out, I'm guessing, to some press outlets. And it comes with a can of an energy drink called Soundwave Energon Energy Drink, and an Energon bar that asks if you are hungry like Grimlock, and an art book entitled Inside the Apocalypse. So they're getting going on this, and apparently, because I heard about this on Twitter outside of the news of this survival kit, there was this Transformers timeline inside the art book, which. Hints, or at least I think Kotaku thought it hinted at something. I didn't really think it hinted at it, but it says that War for Cybertron is like chapter 2 of the timeline, Fall of Cybertron is chapter 3, chapter 1 is the pre-Civil War era, and chapter 4 is the journey. So who knows if maybe they will use the journey for a third game thing that comes after a colon. But Seth, how are you taking this survival kit? Does it excite you about video games, energy bars and things?
I don't know about every kind of media kit that gets sent out there, but it sounds like more and more often they're having energy drinks of some kind in it.
That's what all gamers drink.
Well, it makes me wonder where these generic energy drinks are coming from that you could just have any kind of label printed up for them. Yeah, I mean, it looks like a Red Bull can. It looks a lot like a Red Bull can. It's like blue and metal. just like that bare aluminum. But it's not just like, oh, they taped Soundwave over a Red Bull can. I mean, the pattern's a little different. But it's like, yeah, there has to be some company that will make your custom corporate energy drink.
I almost want to say that I've heard of a company that does that. That sounds. I'm just thinking about it now. Like, what is it? Who is that company? This isn't the same thing, but who's that company that made the? They made like Brutomax and stuff. Their name I want to say comes from a RoboCop thing. I can't remember what they're called now. But there are companies out there.
Brondo.
Yeah, Brondo, not Brutomax. What am I talking about?
Yeah, it was like OCC or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But their whole thing was making, or maybe not making, but at least selling, if other people made them, real-life products that were from movies or TV shows.
Hmm.
So, like, this is a drink or a food that only ever existed in this movie. Now, you could get it for reals. But, yeah, I don't know. And then, like, with this Energon bar thing, it seems like it would be a lot easier to make up, like, your own little fun label and slide it onto a candy bar than it would be to have a whole can made. But, like, these press kits, like, from what I've seen, like, they try to get people's attention in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just recently I went back and watched a video on Giant Bomb from when they got a press thing for Homefront.
Yeah.
Before they even knew what Homefront was. So it was just like this weird, like, instruction booklet for living in the Korean occupied America. And it was funny watching the video because they had no idea what it was. I felt like, whoa, I guess is there any game you could think of? I don't know. So, I mean, sometimes these press kits look awesome. Like, I've seen some really cool looking ones. I think Halo had a really cool looking one a while ago. But yeah, I mean, seems kind of par for the course if you're in the game industry.
Mm-hmm.
But this seems like the sort of thing that some collectors will pay a lot of money to get. And there are some people probably in the game industry that wouldn't mind selling it to you for a lot of money.
I'm curious if we'll see some of these at dealer tables come next BalCon or similar conventions. Gog, are you hungry like Grimlock?
Not today.
Like the wolf?
No, about an hour ago I had a slice of key lime pie. So my hunger level has slightly gone down a little bit below the line of Grimlock threshold.
Hungry like slag.
But, yeah, these press kits are always interesting because the average person has no real opportunity to own anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
So every once in a while, one will pop up on eBay and you can snag it. And collectors, you know, go after these things hardcore because they're out there. It's just that the people who have them, like, you know, I assume that the people in the press, the game press, just they'll eat it. They'll pass it around to people in the office who want, hey, you want the energy drink? Hey, you want this bar? And then, you know. But every once in a while, people are like, yeah, people are into this stuff. So they'll put them out and put them on eBay and stuff or hook their friends up with them. But so it's interesting. I think from that perspective is like if you hardcore Transformers merchandise people, because there's a lot of collectors that, yeah, they like the toys, but they also go after the really oddball stuff. And this is definitely something to keep an eye out for because it's probably going to be really hard to find if you're into that. I'm assuming anyway.
It's also foodstuffs, which haven't become a quote-unquote collectible in quite a while. The last Transformers foodstuff I can remember people trying to pay money for was a long, long ago pre-FunPub BotCon where they had a lollipop, which had like a piece of artwork printed inside of it.
And they did just have those Hostess cakes, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Snowball them. But anyway, so yeah, but... The interesting thing to me, too, is just the, and I guess maybe we'll learn more about it eventually, but they're in this kit, they seem to be pimping their new improved character creation tools, which is, you know, they were kind of bragging about that in the first game, and then it turned out it's like, oh, you pick your model, character model, which is based after, most of them are based after existing models in the game, and then kind of tweak your color scheme and that's it. So it does seem to be that they're trying to get the word out that the ability to do that has, they are much improving that. So I really look forward to seeing that, because I didn't mind it as much in the first game. In the end, it didn't really add anything to the gameplay, but a lot of people speculated on, like, oh man, I wonder what that's going to include. And so it's going to be interesting to see if maybe some of those things that the fandom was speculating on when it came to that before, and we all ended up kind of like, oh, okay, that was a little more realistic, but
yeah.
So yeah, I look forward to seeing how much of that is actually improved, because they've got their engine, they've got the foundation, and now a lot of time that they're putting into it is improving what they've already built. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, whenever I hear Transformers character creation, I think even back when War for Cybertron was coming out, I was kind of, as we got closer to launch, I was tempering myself more, just because of the nature of, you're not just creating a character, but you're creating a character who's supposed to have an alternate form as well. And I was pretty sure that would include a lot of limitations. But then in the same coin, I was kind of impressed with what that MMO was letting us play around with when they had the booth set up where you could print out a created character. I was like, oh, hey, I can put different wings on, and that's kind of cool. So I'd like to see what Fall of Cybertron does and see if they can step outside of expectations. But at the same time, I think I'm going to keep mine a little bit ground level until I see more. Was there anything else Fall of Cybertron-wise that you guys thought was interesting? Because, I mean, I glazed over a lot of it. I tend to just leave it up to you guys. But
Not really. I think most of the stuff that's come out now is just kind of generic base level marketing of trying to get people excited and talking. But I don't think we've really seen anything yet that warrants hardcore discussion, because it's just, it's like we saw the trailer. It was all pre-rendered stuff. It's they're throwing out kind of the generic, yeah, this is improved, that's improved. And not that I don't believe them, but it's until we see something concrete, it's like, okay, I look forward to seeing what you got. Because I like the first game. I think this team has the capacity to make a great game. But like, as far as going head over heels into the hype right now, I'm like you. I'm just going to keep all that stuff curbed and see what they say. And hopefully, as we get closer to the game's release, we get to see more and more of the actual changes in game and be able to have something to talk about then. But
yeah. Seth, what about you? Or I guess you were going to say something anyway.
I agree with what Gog was just saying. Because, you know, really until we start seeing more of, you know, like the gameplay itself, like actual, you know, like game footage, you can't really tell too much. It's like that pre-rendered video, yeah, you know, that was pretty cool. It was all right. Grimlock and Combaticons and all that was cool, but I mean, that doesn't really tell you much about the game itself. But I assume they're gonna pretty much follow the mechanics from the last game. Hopefully it's not as dumbed down as it was for the Dark of the Moon tie-in game, because they simplified a lot of stuff. So, you know, we'll see.
Do you think with your handy dandy location, you may be able to finagle some kind of coverage of it if it shows up at one of those California based dealies that all those video game types like to do?
Like GDC?
Yeah.
Last couple of years.
You've gone to events for the last two games, both War for Cybertron and the Dark of the Moon.
Both at GDC.
Okay.
Actually, they were in a hotel room near GDC.
But, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of up to them and up to Tony from TFW. Because it's Tony that gets the invitations, and then he passes them on to me.
So. I hope it can be set up again, because I always enjoy your coverage of those things. I like hearing
they
about...
They seem to not hate me, so...
Yeah, and I like hearing about the other people who show up at those coverage events, too. I don't know. Something about that I find really intriguing. But anyway, Fall of Cybertron, we'll talk about it as it comes up, because that is going to be the video game news for the next, like, 8 to 12 months. Moving into more generic, more like general coverage of Transformers-osity. Let's do some new pick picks. Gog, what picture would you like to talk about?
We got some in-hand picks from Robot Kingdom of the new Transformers Prime Viacon, a.k.a. Eradicon, a.k.a. Decepticon Trooper, a.k.a.
Yo.
The dude everyone wants to troop build.
Yeah.
So, he's looking good. This is, I think, the first time we've actually seen the non-solicit pictures where they've been either hand-painted or Photoshopped. I think the previous one was, it was like a hand-painted prototype, but...
Yeah, in the case.
I still think he looks good. The previous pictures we saw had them with a pretty nice silver paint on their head. This one looks more of like a gray plastic. It's a little hard to tell because, honestly, the photos really aren't too hot. They look like cell phone pictures, but with kind of a weird color balance, but... It's
huge
not,
flash looks like to me.
Yeah, and it's not they're not horrible. It's certainly better than what we were used to a couple years ago. But
oh yeah,
yeah, it's you know I whatever. Even if this, even if it the head the color on the head is a little off and it's not painted, I'm still really excited for this figure. This is probably the most excited figure. This is probably the figure that I'm most excited for since getting Starscream. I really want Cliffjumper, several others I want, but I can't wait for this guy to show up because I want to get at least three of them. That vehicle mode still looks really outstanding.
Yeah, and this is the first I heard of this, but the front page news item also had a little bit of a tidbit about the designer of the toy. This was the final toy Eric Siebenhaler worked on.
Oh, okay.
I was tweeting about that the other day because I didn't know that, and then I read the front page thing and I saw that at the bottom. It said... fun fact, the Viacon is the last toy to be designed by Eric Siebenhaler. So if you own the Viacon mm-hmm. and Armada Laserbeak, you have the bookends of his Transformers career. And they certainly could not be a cooler pair of bookends to not look anything like each other.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool. As always, Eric is a really cool guy. It was a bummer to see him go. But, you know, these Prime First Edition toys, speaking as someone who now has all of them except the Viacon, are a pretty solid bunch of toys for him to have a name stamp on his way out. Which is also why I really, really want to get hold of this Viacon, because every single Prime toy has left a good impression on me in some way, with Bumblebee being the least good, not really being the worst, just being less good than the other ones. I want to see how this thing turns out, too. What sucks is a lot of the pre-orders for the Viacon are freaking expensive. I think Robot Kingdoms is like nearly $40 before shipping. I saw Ocean King on eBay had them up in a similar to be delivered on or by December 28th or to be shipped by December 28th. And they were also like $40 before shipping. I think right now retailers are quite aware that the Viacon is a little bit of a hot item. So
I haven't been following the import prices on this for people who want to get it super quick, but I'm kind of assuming that isn't the hype for every Prime figure that's not Bumblebee up there right now?
It is. I was checking prices shortly before they showed up in Canada. I was keeping track. Right before they showed up in Canada, Cliffjumpers from Malaysia were generally $30 shipped, and Bulkheads were generally $60 shipped. The demand on the whole line is high, but I think the Viacon is definitely going to be the new spike because, as far as I can tell, come the end of this month, the only way to get one will be through the Takara Tomy release. Because I haven't heard of the Wave 2 case showing up anywhere. Wave 2 being the Viacon and Zombie Cliffjumper and whoever else it was with them. I just hope I forgot the case assortments, but I really hope the Viacon is heavily available in the case because.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Because has reasons to buy lots of these, even kids.
Yeah, like the last few troop builders we've gotten have been all at the last wave of their respective lines. Like the Rekkar never showed up mass retail; ended up going directly to either online retailers or the discount shops, which was great if you found one there. It was bad for most people because they basically could never find them locally. Junkion seems like he's more available now because I've seen him in a couple different stores locally And even then, like at Targets, and Targets have Generations on sale right now for $7. So, but he's still the last of the line. But at least with the Viacon here, it seems like he's going to be available early on. So,
yeah,
which also means he will probably hopefully get repackaged in case revisions or new waves later on. He might show up in multiple waves, especially being a troop builder.
Well, that's the funny thing about him is he is actually. Like, until we understand how this works better, he's technically the one of the last. He's in the last wave of Prime First Edition, which seems to have a different name than Prime Robots in Disguise. Which then makes me go, like, I wonder if he is going to have somehow a similar syndrome.
Yeah, it's. I mean, yeah, it's really too early to tell at this point because I mean, unless there's information out there that I haven't seen, but
yeah, I don't know.
I'm really hoping that some of these figures that aren't getting full on new molds, like Bumblebee and Cliffjumper, I'm hoping that these molds will actually show up in the lines. But see, this is kind of the strange part, because if the first edition was a limited release worldwide, I could easily see them taking a toy and repackaging it and put it in the line proper. The problem is it's only limited in America. Like everywhere else, the first edition toys have been released at mass market, or at least that's the impression I'm getting, because the first edition toys were not meant to be like an exclusive specialty shop deal. And that was something, a decision that I'm guessing, as we talked about a few weeks ago, that's kind of the assumption that I'm making, is that Hasbro made that decision because the retailers didn't want them until the whole line relaunches later because of all the movie toys they got. So yeah, you are right in that the guarantee of this popping up later is not there. But hopefully that happened early enough to where maybe Hasbro could make that decision just in case. But
with a pseudo confirmation of at least pre-production being done on the third season of Prime, I think that there's a greater likelihood that the toy will reappear again, because it's not appearing at the end of a line at the end of a show or the end of a franchise pod. So I don't think it's gonna in the long term be impossible to find, but I'm definitely I got an itchy trigger finger right now to secure my three Viacons or Erraticons or whatever that I want, or two of each if the Takara Tomy one ends up looking a lot different.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna be hard to find in the long run.
Nah, I don't either.
So, but I don't think people should panic over it, but I mean it is being released worldwide, so there will be a way for you to get this figure one way or another.
Yeah. And hopefully it's an awesome figure, because my favorite kind of troop build toys are the ones that are also good toys. Trying to think of an example where, you know what? Here's a perfect example. I really like troop building those BotCon 2005 Virulent clones, but as toys, they were all built wrong and I had to take them all apart and put them back together again, which kind of sucked. Anyway, the Prime toys continue to truck along. Hopefully the Americans will have readily available, at least ready access to Cliffjumper and the Voyagers sooner than later. Seth, what is your new picture pick?
Well, just one thing on troop builders and finding them. It always seems like there's a mad scramble for troop builders within the community. Mm-hmm. But I always seem to end up just seeing them in mass on shelves.
Yeah.
And then there being a point where people are like, oh my God, there's so many AIM soldiers on shelves from Marvel. And it's like, oh, I remember when everyone was like, oh, I want like a bunch of AIM dudes.
Speaking of remembering, remember when we all thought Scrap Heap was a, or not Scrap Heap, Crankcase was a troop builder?
Oh, the days.
Yeah, so, you know, it may end up being more available than you want. We'll just have to see how it goes. But my pick, hey, there's Transformer conventions that aren't BotCon.
What?
They're also not TFCon.
What?
They also have weird names that don't really involve Transformers at all, like Dairy Con.
I have to apologize to the audience for this. Please go on.
They're cheap. Dairy Con is cheapening the hobby.
It's just an odd name for a robot. Anyway.
There's a reason for it that someone told me once and I forgot.
Well, it's in Wisconsin, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know. It's somewhere around where it's like the dairy country. I don't know.
Whatever.
The Dairy Con people are screaming right now. Like, I'm trying. I'm trying.
It's not the important part. It's just fun to point out. It's a weird name. But anyway. So, they unveiled their first exclusive figure for their 2012 convention.
Yes.
And now, very recently, I've been talking about my desire for somebody, like, or for Hasbro, Takara, to make human figures, like actually posable ones. Kind of like how Microman did that kicker for Armada. Kicker wasn't from
Armada. Oh, no, he's Energon.
Energon, right. That same time period. So anyway, Dairy Con, they're doing a human character. A pretty obscure Marvel comic character. They're calling him Neo Knight. Mm-hmm. I guess the character's comic book name was G.B. Blackrock. So that's cool. Now, apparently this figure is a repaint of a Commissioner Gordon figure that came out, I think, not too long ago. I remember seeing it on shelves, maybe last year.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a three pack. It was a Commissioner Gordon and two Gotham, like SWAT officers.
Yeah.
So like this has black hair instead of gray hair and mustache and a black trench coat instead of a tan trench coat. But it's pretty obviously Commissioner Gordon. And some people seem to get really upset about that. I think it's kind of silly to get really upset about it.
Yeah.
But and then he comes with, I'm not sure what this is. Like, I'm not familiar with the character from the comics. Like, I had stopped reading the Marvel run before this character was introduced.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if it's like a bell that he's holding or looks like a bell.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be a cowbell because Dairy Con.
Elford Dairy Con.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know if it was like something from the character. Like, this is the pyramid of friggin' whatever. And I could zap robots.
The pyramid of robot zapping.
But
from ancient Wisconsin.
So it's cool that somebody's making a human character.
Yeah, and generally I really like what Dairy Con does, and I think this thing's cool too. I don't get any like, oh god, it's so lazy. It's like, it's G.B. Blackrock. He's a guy. Like, it's kind of cool they found a toy that looks enough like him to be able to paint up. I mean, you look at GOG just linked their previous year's exclusives. They made Action Master Ravage, who was a microcassette, and that's all he was. It was a microcassette with stickers and a special little case. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I think the guy. I've never been to Dairy Con. It's a long ways, and I looked it up. It is in Wisconsin. For you Canadian, Wisconsin is known in America as like the cheese state. Like,
is that in Florida or California? Which side of the country?
It's actually way up north near you. You were closer to Wisconsin probably than I am. But
I don't understand.
There, people like, that's where the Green Bay Packers are. That's why they all wear cheese heads. They call themselves cheese heads. They all wear cheese on their heads when they go to games.
Oh, like in the Kevin Smith movie.
Sure. But yeah, that's what Wisconsin, every state is famous for something, but Wisconsin is famous for the cheese, so that's why they call it Dairy Con. But the guys who run Dairy Con, they come up with some great exclusives. Like, I still remember from 09, Pretender Motormaster.
Mm-hmm.
He has the what was he? I can't remember which one he was a repaint of.
But Starscream, I believe. With the real mad face.
Yeah, here it is right here. But yeah, he comes with the hat with the like feather sticking up. It's just hilarious stuff. And like last year, yeah, they had gears, but they put ram horns on the front and called it steers. It's like these guys are fans, and they have a blast. And it's like, yeah, people are giving them a little grief
I mean, here's the thing.
A vocal minority, but it's...
Yeah, I'm trying to put this in perspective for folks if they are mad. Like, number one, these guys just, they buy up a bunch of a toy and repaint them themselves. And they make, like, 50 or 75 or 100 or something like that. And, like, if you're going to get in the case going, like, oh, they took Commissioner Gordon and painted him sort of black. Like I said, one of their exclusives was a microcassette. Another one was an old McDonald's toy spray-painted gold. Like, and I'm not saying this to knock them. I think these are awesome. But it's like, I don't understand why someone would get on their case for this when it's like, this is just what they do. They come up with fun things.
Yeah, and it would be like getting on TFCon's case for some of their exclusives being like third-party stuff. It's like, oh, it's not real. It's like, well, you're not real. How about that? But
there you go, Seth. They repainted a Huffer with, again, ram horns and called it Heifer.
I remember Heifer.
Looks like the same horns. That's so cheap.
No, it's awesome because there's a theme. There's a theme going on.
Yeah, I know.
Microbots with ram horns on the front. Over and over. Great. And he has the black and white cow theme going on his legs.
No, you got to give them credit. They're trying to do something different, and they have a sense of humor about it. So that's cool. And I don't really see the point in getting mad that they repainted a Gordon. It's just, whatever.
I wish I lived close enough to be able to attend, because I'd have a blast supporting these guys. I don't know any of them personally, that, you know, anything like that, but I only go off of the news updates I see every year as they get closer to their convention and their announcements for their figures, and they just seem to be dudes just having a blast, their fans, and they don't have the official support that BotCon does. They don't have the ability to get with some of these third-party companies like TFCon tends to do, so they're doing their own thing, and I think with the resources they have, they're doing a good job.
They sound like a really fun convention who have no intention of wanting to become bigger than they are. Like, they'd be cool. They sound like they'd be cool with it, but they don't really care. Like, going by their exclusives, they seem to be totally happy just, like, doing their thing and coming up with these crazy ideas and then making them. Like, I'm sure, and I'm kind of hypothesizing here, I'm sure half the fun of this for them is, like, half of it is coming up with the concept. The other half is, like, printing off and manufacturing and packaging a whole bunch of microcassettes with a Ravage label on the cassette cover. Like, I don't know. It seems like it's real just based out of the idea of fun. But I always like what they do.
How dare they?
Bunch of smug, fun-having jerks. I can't believe them. My own new pick is going to be a third-party toy. Sorry about this, guys. I know we're going all about official toys and GB Blackrocks here. But I really want to bring up something, and this is kind of also diving into an old well in that this is coming from the Hercules toys that have been the talk of the town ever since enough of them existed for people to actually hold something that resembled a combined robot. But they're releasing the final two next year. One of them is called Mad Blender. He's a cement truck. And the thing I kept forgetting about him is that his little cement mixer actually breaks apart into 8 guns. And they released a photo showing all of his cement mixer cannons attached all over his body. And all of a sudden, I really like this guy more than the other 5. Because he looks crazy. The robot mode pictures we'd seen before, on his shoulders, he's got 2 sets of 2 wheels. And they'd always just been kind of pointing up. I'd never put 2 and 2 together and realized those would be points to plug in some of his guns. So I kind of like the idea that for all the kind of these guys look a whole lot like the old Constructicons thing going on, they went in a really weird direction with this guy and also let him get covered in guns. And by having all those chunks of cement mixer on him, he kind of reminds, bits of him kind of remind me of Movie Mixmaster somehow. Just having all those bits of a cylinder stuck all over him. But, I don't know. I actually really like the look of this guy. Strangely enough, the 2 of these robots that, as single toys, I think I'd like to own, even if I don't get all of them, would be the 2 feet. This guy and Matt, or I almost called him like Mad Blitz Structor. I think his name is just Structor. The 2 feet. They look like the two toys that jive with me the most. Have either of you guys seen this crazy looking dude and all his cannons?
He looks good. The favorite part of it for me though is still the name.
Yeah,
I think some of the names for these guys have been okay, but others have been knocked out of the park. Mad Blender and Dr. Crank.
Yep, Dr. Crank is my other favorite name.
So again, it's just that alone. Mad Blender. I still don't think I'm gonna pick these up right now. I'm just not feeling it, and maybe later I'll get an itch for it and regret not getting them at cost. But it's a
if it helps, it seems they've been reissuing them as they run out of stock. So I suspect that they would, like, given how popular these are, unless interest dips, I got a feeling these are going to be pretty readily available for at least the first half of next year. Like as in all six being available.
Yeah, I'll think about it. We'll see.
Seth, how about you? Do you feel like blending some stuff in a real mad way?
I think that's a really cool way to have done a cement truck transformer. Just having all the, not just having like a big drum hanging off his back, or having the drum unfold into like crazy wings or something. Yeah, actually becoming a whole bunch of guns is kind of cool.
What?
The other guy I think is a little...
Neckbreaker, the bulldozer. The thing about the arm robots, X-Graver could do this as well, is they've made... Like for instance, when you say that it's cool that they let you not just have the drum hanging off his back, the neat thing I've seen about these toys is like they're kind of parts formery in that if you want, you can just leave everything stuck on them, like in a real boring G1 kind of way, or you can just start plugging things onto them because they have lots of 5mm ports all over their bodies. So one thing they did with the guys who turn into the arms is they make it so that when you fold the hands away, there's a port there that can accept the Devastator hand, so you can give him a giant purple hand.
It looks like he's got one of those foam hands at a sports game.
Yes.
You know? Yeah! All he needs is a ball cap.
And so what's funny is they do that, right? And then here, I'm going to send you another picture of an image of the back of that same robot. If you want, you can also just leave the hand hanging off of his ass, like that, if you really want to. So that's kind of the thing. Go ahead.
Giant purple hand aside, I am nowhere near as impressed with that figure as the Mad Blunder.
Yeah. He's not grabbing me quite as much. Did you guys also know, I don't know if you've kept up, there's like a big thread about this set on TFW. And between that thread and, of course, the spillings out from other forums and whatnot, I've noticed these two guys actually have had a huge amount of contention and outright fights over... Can you guess what it's over? Can you at all guess what it's over? I'm going to send you two pictures that are a hint. All right, here's picture number one. Yeah, I'm sending them pictures of the vehicle modes from the Robot Kingdom photo shoots. All right? Now, can you guess what the huge point of contention that has led to, like, fist fights is? Okay, point number one. Mad Blender's mixer drum is colored purple in that picture. It's actually going to be green and has been seen as both purple and green in various photo shoots. And people are, like, taking knives to each other's throats over whether or not the mixer drum is going to be purple or green.
If you don't like one, just paint it yourself.
Yeah. The other thing is, you see on Neckbreaker there, you see how the front of his bulldozer blade is black?
Mm-hmm.
And you guess the other thing people have been knifing each other over.
It's not straight.
It's going to be purple.
No, it's black. There have been like 15 different camps of schools of thought on what color this guy's bulldozer blade should be, and all the different virtues and anti-virtues, and how it being black either is too... It either makes it look more symmetrical, or is making it look too monotone, or is ruining the color balance, etc., etc. Like, there are people having... The biggest arguments, now that four of them are out, people have gone from arguing about whether or not they're actually going to come out or the aesthetics. Now they're just arguing about, "Gah, no, that one part is the wrong color. I want my voice to be heard." And like,
well, thanks for summarizing the thread for me. Now I know why I haven't gone into it.
I was just really happy that I went in the thread, because I love this about third-party toys in general, like seeing how the candor and and the tone of the discussions and the subjects will change instantly. Like, I remember back in 08, third-party toys was like, oh, man, they're making Ultra Magnus armor. This is going to really come out. How can they do that? Oh, man, the first people get it. Oh, look, it actually works. It plugs on. All the legs are scary. And then, like, 3 months later, yeah, these third-party companies, I think they're kind of phoning it in. I'm expecting a little bit more out of these things for the money. And so I was wondering how it would go with these Constructicons, and it has gone, like, just on all these rocky, bumpy paths from, you know, first off, why do they look like this? And, oh, they're not all going to come out. And then as, you know, we've crossed the halfway point, he's got people who are getting real mad about the color of bits and whether or not they're right. And I think that the next thing a third-party company needs to release would just be pots of paint mixed to match the purple and greens of these toys so that, you know, you can now make the third-party thing to allow dissatisfied folks to alter their own. I've also seen people talking about how they're hoping companies like Crazy Devi or iGear will release alternate mixing drums or alternate steam shovels. It's like people are already starting to start discussing the non-existent phantom add-ons for the third-party kit, like, you know, the ninth party 3x3 party add-ons that other companies are going to make for this thing now. It's I love the evolution of third-party discussions. It's like a weird, real big waste of my time kind of science that I get way too excited about.
Well, I love the insanity of hoping that another third-party company makes an add-on for a third-party company's thing. I hope Hasbro makes an add-on for a third-party company. How about that?
Well, there is.
Hasbro's like, you know what? Guess what? Screw you guys. We're going to improve your thing this time. How do you like them apples?
Well, there is also the big ongoing rumor. Just a little bit of an update overall on the Hercules stuff, because I've been glancing in the thread more and more and catching up with stuff. Another big rumor, you know how Devastator, right? One of his feet is a shovel and the other one is a square truck cab, and that doesn't look totally symmetrical. Apparently, the big rumor is there may or may not be an add-on, either by TFC or someone else, to change the cab of this Mixmaster to be a long nose, so he'll have two pointy feet rather than one pointy foot. I love how
let's just all start our own third party companies and make everything exactly how we want.
I didn't think this stuff sounded so crazy until I tried telling it to you guys just now. the Hercules toys by the end of next spring, so in the next 3-4 months, they'll be done. And people have already built entire Devastators because some people just bought two of the arm and two of the existing leg, and you can do that, and you'll have a Devastator with a real funny-looking left hand and no club foot. So, that's some third-party news. There's actually... I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on something else, actually, because I didn't really look deep into this item of news until I was scrolling around on the front page. Another third-party bit of news. iGear is teaming up with... A comic store called Comic Inc. It says they're in... Is that Dublin, California, or Dublin, CA, being not California?
No, there's a Dublin in California. It's not terribly far from here.
Is it full of Welsh people?
No. I don't think I've ever actually been to Dublin myself.
Oh.
But usually the only time you hear from Dublin in the local news is when something really bad has happened there. So...
Well, Dublin
like
has
been a murder or something.
Dublin is going to be the home of the first, as far as I know, the first U.S.-based joint exclusive through iGear. They're taking their mysteriously designed Masterpiece Seeker Conehead, and they're going to be releasing it in G2 Ramjet colors, limited run of 500 pieces with specially made Shapeways Auto Master parts for the G2-style missile launchers. And apparently it's going to be sold entirely through this Comic Inc. store in Dublin, California. The part that makes me look at this real close is this is arguably one of the most treading the line, brazenly third-party companies now releasing something in partnership with a USA-based retailer, which is like all these different aspects of old discussions we've had kind of colliding together in a really weird way. And then it's kind of just topped off with it's being done in the color scheme of a recent TF Collectors Club toy. So
I'll be surprised if something doesn't happen with this, especially the fact that this is being front-paged. Hasbro's already seen this.
Yeah.
If this actually comes to pass as they're saying it will, is like, this comic shop's releasing this figure, I'll be really surprised.
Yeah, I mean, all these factors adding together and circumstances are like a mixture of everything that we said would not happen without Hasbro doing something. Like, this feels like the ultimate trolling of U.S. copyright IP, blah, 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 with the added little just, like, cherry on top of it being a color scheme that was the crux of an exclusive released by an officially backed company that had been very outspoken about their disapproval of third-party anything. So, I'm really curious to see if this even comes out or if there's any kind of backlash.
I could see this comic shop walking into a situation that they did not anticipate.
Yeah.
Because, like, wasn't that ages 3 and up? Weren't they getting heat from Hasbro?
They got heat from Hasbro and got basically a cease and desist because they were selling knockoff G1 cassettes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And this is a grayer zone, depending on how much you believe some stories about how iGear created this mold.
It doesn't matter, because the figure is a... It doesn't matter how it was created, it was still a direct copy with slight changes of an existing toy that Hasbro has sold in the last couple years and is a blatant copy. And so, and again, I'm not getting into the rights or wrongs of it, but... I don't think legally that it's a gray area at all.
This is
It's one thing if you're selling it from China and people are importing it, but now it's being sold, and it's been announced that this comic shop is an official partner in this. They are here.
Yeah, and now
that's not something you can hide on the other side of the border from.
Yeah, iGear has lived on a tree. Which has been out of Hasbro's legal, or at least out of Hasbro's feasible legal reach, and now someone has become a branch of that tree who live in the States. That's kind of a recipe for, I'm not going to like, not something assuredly bad happening, but that's, like, a really high possibility of something happening to them. So I'm curious to see what happens with this. Nonetheless, I was just also just kind of amused at the mixture of it. It was like the perfect storm of everything that shouldn't be done, given what we know about why third parties are still in operation. I was wondering about your guys' thoughts on this. Seth, if it does happen, are you going to head down to Dublin, California in what was it? When are they doing this? April? Yeah, in April. And head down there in April, no. 225 in hand to do your part for cheapening your hobby?
No.
Oh.
I'm not interested in those iGear seekers. And it's not horribly far away, but I think it is at least a 2-hour drive. And I'll stay here.
What if it turns out that Hasbro sent like a Hasbro labeled SWAT team to the comic shop and you missed out on seeing that?
It will be on the local news.
I suppose.
Hasbro SWAT, wouldn't they just send G.I. Joe?
Yeah, they'll all be dressed in the accelerator suits from the first G.I. Joe movie.
they're gonna zip through in slow motion and just snatch the cases of things off the back of the forklift.
Don't try to tell me that you wouldn't be freaked out if a dude in an accelerator suit just kicked down the front door of your store and ran in screaming, "Yo, Joe." Like... That is called shock and awe. And then one of them is actually Marlon Wayans.
One thing I'm pretty sure of is if we have any listeners that live in Dublin, we're going to hear from them, because I'm not painting a nice picture of that place. But it's always been kind of my understanding that it's a bit of a roughneck town.
And then the whipped cream that cherry on that perfect storm is sitting on is called Dublin, California. Huh?
Watch it turn out to be like an actually like a yuppie utopia, and I'm completely wrong.
Everyone has tiny fedoras and fashionable jackets. So those are our new picks. We'll see what happens with the ongoing stories of some of those picks. I have a bit of an ongoing story from a previous item we covered just the other week. I was talking about Bumblebee and Me, My Life as a G1 Transformer, the new book by Dan Gilvezan, voice actor of G1 Bumblebee and Spider-Man from Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. We were talking a whole lot about, you know, getting copies of the book, how well it might do, and then I just got a news item that I read today of the book showing up on Audible.com for just under $3.50. It's an audio version of the book read by Dan Gilvezan. I think that is the smartest decision the company behind the book could have possibly made, because a lot of people don't like to read.
$3.50?
Well, no, putting it out on Audible with Dan Gilvezan reading. The $3.50 I think is kind of crazy, but... I don't know what...
But that's the price?
Yeah. $350? Yeah, that's the price.
That's cheap.
Yeah, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's a really good price. Maybe they'll get more people to buy it. Because I think a lot of people don't like to read, and a lot of people like to have things read to them. And Dan Gilvezan uses his voice as a trade, so having him read his own book, it's a really good idea. I am really... Like, I was already going to try to pick up a paper copy, but I am definitely interested in the audio version as well, because... I am one of those nasty internet denizen rats who don't know how to read. So I do actually prefer the idea of having Dan read me his book.
Read your book for me, boy. Read it.
Did either of you guys have any opinions on this thing? Like, this being also, I think, the first quote-unquote memoir by a G1 voice actor, and now it being available in audio format as read by him? Are either of you guys thinking
about that? To have an interest now, because reading is for nerds.
Oh, here we go.
Now, I just kind of the way the rut of my life is set up, like read a book. Who has time for that? But I listen to podcasts all day long. And I have listened to audiobooks in the past. I think it's a pretty cool, like if you do stuff like, you have a long commute, you go to the gym, you work in a job where you could listen to an iPod or what have you. Audiobooks, they're a pretty good entertainment source.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no issue with listening to an audiobook. So, and then if it's only $3.50, yeah, I'll probably check that out.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Why not?
That's what I meant by, at least the non-price side of it, that's what I meant by this being such a good idea, because this is, especially with the internet culture that it is, you know, as it is now, this is a way to get a whole lot more people to pick up a quote-unquote copy of this book than if it was only available in paper. And I guess the $3.50 is a good idea, because it means a whole lot of people are going to go like, $3.50, I can do that, and boom.
Yeah, and you'll probably also be able to find it on iTunes, because I know iTunes has a deal with Audible.
Oh, geez. Yeah, this is...
But if you subscribe to Audible, like, they have a monthly plan. Like, you could buy individual books, but they have that monthly plan thing where you get, like, a book a month or 2 books a month, depending on your plan. Mm-hmm. But you could also buy individuals through iTunes.
And
so I'll see if I can find it.
So this becomes really easily, like, if they use the rights, I mean, it has Transformers right in the title, you'll also get a whole bunch of people coming off the live-action movies going, like, I like Transformers, and then searching for Transformers on iTunes, and, hey, there's a book by a G1.
I love Bumblebee.
I love Bumblebee.
I love Bumblebee.
That's a throwback.
Oh,
hey, listeners, do you remember that?
I was letting them answer.
My search had no result.
Gog, how are you feeling about the audioized Dan Gilvezan?
Well, much like Seth, I am in an opportunity during my day where I am able to listen to audio for a good portion of my workday. So this $3.50, I mean, that's pretty cheap. I mean, that's like the price of a bag of chips. So it's the price is not really a factor in that. So it's like, I might as well. I'm also kind of curious too, because I've heard some stories about Dan Gilvezan. That's just rumor speculation. I'll leave that to the winds, but I'm interested in kind of hearing things from his perspective to see how it matches up with what other people have said about Mr. Gilvezan. So
he's
that's not negative anything. I'm just saying, like, the whole, there's lots of mystique and aura about some of these actors from back then. I mean, and I'm certainly interested in hearing multiple perspectives on that. So, yes,
Found it on iTunes.
Oh, sweet!
It's $1.95
for the audiobook.
Yeah.
Oh well, there you okay.
It's unabridged too.
I'm gonna buy it on my. I'm gonna turn on my telephone and buy it on my telephone and have my telephone read.
I'm gonna do that right now.
Hey, guess how long it is?
How long is it?
It's 1 hour and 21 minutes.
That's shorter.
This
than
is
I
a
expected.
Real short book.
Yeah. That's less than 90 minutes. Oh, you know what? The book they did say that a lot of the book is also never before seen behind the scenes photographs of recording sessions. Maybe that's
it's an hour and 20 minutes of him describing photos.
Yeah.
Well, that explains why it's so cheap.
Yeah. Okay.
Now I'll actually have time to listen to it in my podcast schedule because there's been a few audiobooks recently where I've wanted to listen to them, but it's like I'm barely keeping up on all the podcasts I'm subscribed to. So it's actually, it's only 1 hour 21 minutes. Thank God. Let's see. I'll type in my password here.
What's your password? Oh,
beeswax.
I'm tricky. I'm.
You can't social engineer me, Mr. Mitnick.
Damn it. I'm very curious to have a listen to this book when I get the chance, and I still want to get a paper copy.
I typed in my password, and the next little box that popped up said, "Are you sure you want to buy? Do you want to download Bumblebee and Me?"
Was that like signed by another voice actor?
No.
Further adding to the mystique.
Now I got to put in my password again.
Oh. Yeah,
Steve Jobs, what are they doing?
I think I mentioned this before, but the one thing I've always noticed about, like, in my time seeing Dan Gilvezan speak and having seen other voice actors speak, Dan Gilvezan makes a lot more of a, not like a rehearsed speech out of it, but he comes across as a guy who's doing a paid stage show when he does his Q&A sessions. Like, he walks around with the mic, it's not like he's reading off a script, but he has the self-rehearsed nature of a good stand-up comic to me. So I think if anything he's going to be quite well spoken in this dealy. That's really cool. I didn't know it was going to be on iTunes as well.
Downloading now.
Good Lord, are you going to write a review of it on there?
I don't know, we'll see how it goes.
Should have been 90 minutes. Wanted to hear more pictures.
OMG. Why didn't you talk more about Grimlock? That's my favorite character. The letter U, the letter R, equal lame.
I'm hungry like Grimlock. Gog, are you thinking of having it on your phone sometime soon?
Yeah, if it's only $2 on iTunes, yeah, I'll just buy it and put it on my iPod.
But how are we gonna get the iTunes copies signed by Dan Gilvezan?
We'll talk about that afterwards. I have a plan. The legality of which is not without question.
I like kidnapping. That's fun.
Yeah.
There's a digital booklet included.
That must be where all the pictures are. There goes the only reason to get the paper. No, I'm just kidding.
How the heck do I open it, though?
You got to have the Dan Gilvezan reader. Adobe Gilvezan.
I've never downloaded anything like this from iTunes, so.
Ew.
Where is it? Is it under books?
Live review.
Oh, those are all my audiobooks. Which is like a lot of Ricky Gervais.
I've never downloaded an audiobook before. like through an audiobook service. I've downloaded illicit audiobooks through illicit services.
Yeah. The John Hodgman books are pretty funny. Pretty funny.
I like the Douglas Adams ones, the Hitchhiker's Guide ones. Either the audio plays or the ones that Douglas Adams reads. Dude's a good reader. Like when I was a kid, actually, I had the Douglas Adams read Hitchhiker's Guide audiobooks that came in these like book-shaped boxes of like 4 cassettes. And I played them so much that my cassette player ruined all the cassettes, and I was real sad because they were expensive.
Yeah, I have a disc with a... the BBC Audio Play Productions.
That's my favorite version of Hitchhiker's Guide.
Well, it's the original version.
Yeah, it is. And
the radio plays were original.
And some years later, they finished it after Douglas Adams' untimely death. They went in and made audio, like, in the same continuity. They made audio productions for the rest of the story. And it, I think, actually had the best ending of any Hitchhiker's Guide iteration as well. And they got Stephen Fry to fill in as, I think it was Stephen Fry, fill in as the book. I'm not sure now. Oh, no, that was in the film. So, anyway, that's also supremely off topic. Continue, though.
Oh, I was just going to keep being off topic. No, it was funny, like, not too long before the movie came out, I went and bought a copy of the book because I had actually never read the book. Mm-hmm. I had seen I'd heard the radio plays and I had seen the BBC television miniseries. So I take the book up to the counter and the woman behind the counter goes, "Oh, this is a great book. Can you believe they're actually going to try to make a movie based on it?" And I'm like, "Well, actually the book is based on a radio play." So what? I'm like, "Yeah, the book isn't even the original version." And it's, I didn't know that. It's like, yeah.
It's surprising how many people don't know that. It's really surprising.
Well, it just completely shut her down because, like, you know that she's one of those people who don't think any book could ever be made into a movie.
Yeah.
And then it's like, yeah, guess what?
That's real funny.
Book's not the original thing.
Hitchhiker's Guide has a 1-2 punch. It's got that, and then it's got the fact that Douglas Adams literally, there's a quote of him saying he tries to write, in the input at least that he's able to give in some of them, he tries to write every different media's Hitchhiker's Guide differently than the other media's so that there's actually a reason to check it out. So he's actually all pro-change stuff for the next version.
Yeah, like if you, like just one example in the radio play, when the guy's laying in front of the bulldozer to keep it from destroying his house, and Ford Prefect is trying to get him to follow him, and they convince the foreman to lay down in front of the bulldozer. But in the play, and I'm forgetting the guy's name, the main human character.
Oh, Arthur Dent.
Arthur. Is it? Arthur. Yeah, in the radio play, Arthur is the one that tricks the dude into laying down. But in every other version, it's Ford Prefect that does it.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually kind of makes more sense because Ford's supposed to be the fast-thinking, fast-talking dude.
But anyway, so, tune in next time for another episode of WTF at H2G2. We have a listener question from Omega Supreme One. This came in November. And he says, "Hey, Podcasticons, I've been kicking around with a friend of mine." Stop kicking your friend, Omega Supreme One. That's not cool.
Oh, my God.
"My own version of Dark of the Moon. Would you feel, if the Dreads had been Hook, Line, and Sinker, retaining their functions as Unicron Heralds? Would you feel..." So, would you feel? I would still feel. He goes on to say, "Also, would you have liked it if instead of warping Cybertron to Earth, Sentinel Prime, in an homage to Nimoy being G1 Galvatron, Space Bridges his Dark Master Unicron instead? OS1. This sounds a whole lot like the kind of movie discussions we have before a movie comes out, where we come up with all these really cool ideas that would never happen. So, I would have liked all of this, because I would have, you know, in this hypothetical world where we're coming up with our own version of the movie, we would make it as cool as it could possibly be." But no, it's a cool idea. I mean, it's a cool idea. I'm not, like, going to throw down and say this is how the movie should have been written, but it's a cool idea. Hook, Line, and Sinker were neat dudes until they got wiped out like a bunch of wusses. I don't know. Gog, how do you feel about some of these hypotheticals he's offering up? Or have you ever kicked a friend while talking about Dark of the Moon?
I kicked myself while thinking about Dark of the Moon. That's how I motivate myself to stop thinking about it. But, no, I'm joking. I don't kick myself. I slap myself in the jaw.
Ooh.
The, no, it's like, it's not a bad idea, but you would have had to have completely rewritten the movie story based around those characters having different names if you wanted it to make any sense. Or, you know, just go with the whole movie thing of it doesn't matter, just give them names and then they die, and then nobody cares, and they don't have anything to do with their original version.
And their head rolls away.
Yeah, yeah, all three of them in slow motion, one after another, in succession. Having having him pull in Unicron at the end, I'm actually really glad they didn't do that, because it just would have been a complete waste. It's like, why would it have even been Unicron? And we would have all that and I think if that had happened, we would have all been saying, oh, they should have just pulled in Cybertron, because it wouldn't have been a waste or whatever.
Would have been an homage to the Ultimate Doom.
Exactly. That's exactly what everybody would be saying. So if they had done the Unicron thing, the movie would have to be completely different for it to not have sucked really bad. So I think your idea is there's nothing wrong with that at all, but just subbing those things in into the existing movie, I don't think would have worked at all. The movie would have had to have kind of played out entirely differently, and in order for it to not have been, I think, a train wreck compared to what we got.
Seth, what kind of train wrecks do you like?
I don't think it necessarily would have been bad if it was Unicron, because, I mean, if they follow along with kind of how it worked with Cybertron in the movie, it wouldn't have been successful, but it might have been cool if, like, oh man, Unicron's all come through. A lot of the backstory or buildup would have had to have changed as to why Sentinel was pulling through Unicron. But I mean, I could see, like, the mouth part and, like, the mandibles, like, starting to come through, and then the space bridge getting shut down, and instead of, like, cutting part of it off or whatever, like, he just got sucked back the other way and when it closed.
No!
Just as, like, this big, like, threat, like, oh, God, it's Unicron. And now Unicron's aware of the Earth. And then that could set the stage for the next movie, like Unicron actually showing up. Almost kind of like how the Borg were introduced in Star Trek Next Generation.
Mm. Yeah.
Where Q brought a couple onto the ship, and now it's not so much the threat of the couple that they had to deal with, but now the Borg are aware of the Federation and they're going to be coming. Sort of a thing.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that. I think my whole thing was assuming that the movie was going to play out the same, and at the end, like, he pulls Unicron through, and the space bridge collapses, and now Unicron's destroyed. Like, I think I was looking at it from that, but if the way you're pitching it could have worked, and it could have been a setup, but then it would have guaranteed that there would have been another movie, which they didn't want to do that at the time. And again, as we had said during our Dark of the Moon discussion, if Dark of the Moon had been the second movie and then they did that, and we could have continued to forget about Revenge of the Fallen, then, yeah, in that alternate reality, everything would have been great.
Hmm. And I think a lot of, like, these theories of, like, well, what if this tweak had happened to the movie? They often also come with the caveat of, and then what if this tweak had happened in the movie and there was a really well-written underlying cement to its adhesion to the script, which then comes to the case.
There would have had to have been some changes made to the motivations and exactly who Sentinel was and his relation to Megatron and whatnot. But I think that it could have been interesting.
Oh, for sure.
It could have been an interesting way to have done Unicron without committing to having Unicron be the main villain. And then you could do another movie and never have Unicron show up because he's too far away. He hasn't gotten here yet. But just the fact that he's out there and now it's something to be concerned about, I think could have been cool.
And then if they ran out of money, they could just represent him with a giant cloud of stormy weather. And
yeah.
I couldn't resist that. I'm sorry. That was real cheap. But I hope that answered your question, Omega Supreme 1. I think that we all do indeed feel. We also have a listener question from XL Hedge, sent in around about the same time. He says, "Hello, Vangelis and the Chaos Bringers of TFW at WTF." That's backwards. One, if you could replace or add any of human cast, you'd replace or add any of human cast of TF Prime with any from the past shows, which ones would you? Personally, I would bring back Angry Archer, Slow-Mo, Professor Princess, Nanosecond Kicker. They would be working for Mech as Silas's elite. Oh, and Saru would so replace Miko. I would bring back G.B. Blackrock as portrayed by Gary Oldman. That's a throwback to earlier. Gog, what would you do human-wise with TF Prime?
I wouldn't replace anybody, I don't think, at this point. Yeah, I think it's fine them making original characters. I loved all those animated characters that you mentioned, but I don't think any of those would fit in Prime. I mean, maybe you could slip one in, but just copycatting all those guys in just into the new show, I think it would feel completely strange. So I'm glad that all the human characters are unique, and even getting unique human villains in Silas with Mech. Like, yeah, certainly there's changes, individual tweaks and changes maybe that I would prefer for the existing characters, but as far as just subbing them out for older characters in the franchise, no, I wouldn't do that at all.
And Seth, this is a Prime question, but in what you've seen of Prime, what would you do with human cast characters?
Okay, I would replace Raph with Chip, Silas with a Dr. Archiville. The mom with older Carly, Agent Fowler I would replace with
Iceman.
Just pick one of the three kids from Armada.
Rad.
It doesn't matter which one. Like, grown up. So that's what happened to them when they grew up. And I would replace Optimus with Sparkplug.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
Well, I think that would make for a real interesting show. All right, I
wouldn't do any of that. Whatever.
I really couldn't abide anyone replacing Silas, because then we'd be losing Clancy Brown. And I just saw Shawshank Redemption this afternoon, and Clancy Brown is pretty awesome.
Still do the voice,
I guess. You know, I can't. Now that I've seen Shawshank Redemption, I'm going to hear Silas in all of Clancy Brown's roles dropping lines from that movie.
Wait, that was your first time seeing Shawshank Redemption?
All the way through. Yep.
Oh man, that's a good movie.
It is a really good movie.
I can't believe you've never seen that before.
I'd seen parts of it, and it always stopped, because I was like, I'd missed like the first couple minutes, or I'd come in at a certain time, and I'd be like, I don't want to watch this from here. I want to watch the whole thing, nice and happy, and sitting down and watching it. So we watched it in my screenwriting class, because it's a really good movie. And Clancy Brown is in it, and it's, I don't know, because he's Clancy Brown, and he has a very particular voice. So I was kind of stifling chuckles, because every time he was saying really, really, really unpleasant lines, because he's a pretty unpleasant dude in that movie, I was kind of laughing, and I was like, someone should just overdub his lines from Shawshank Redemption over Silas and Lex Luthor and stuff like that. Moving along, question number two. What Prime character do you think should get a Master Pessy or Supreme quality toy? Seth, who do you want to see getting the highest quality toy in all of Prime?
Raph.
Masterpiece Raph?
Yeah.
Or Hot Toys Raph?
Ooh, Hot Toys. Medicom.
Medicom X Enterbay Raph.
Sideshow. And, yeah. And whatever other people. Ooh, 3A Raph.
What famous band member would he be modeled after?
What's the name of that band? The singer from Radiohead.
I don't remember his name either. All right.
Trent Reznor.
Trent Reznor.
Trent Reznor, singer for Radiohead.
Real interesting.
I know Trent Reznor's not the singer from Radiohead. I was just trying to think of another dude that might be somebody that they would use.
It took 5 seconds to clarify, which means somebody already wrote a reply in the thread saying that he's not the anyway.
DMC from Run DMC.
That's rough. Gog, what would you like to see?
Adidas.
What would you like to see masterpiece-ified?
I want to see Supreme Lander.
Prime Lender?
No, Supreme. He said Masterpiece or Master Pessy.
Yeah, what Prime character Supreme. Do you think should get?
Oh, what Prime? I want to see Prime Lander.
Prime Lander and Prime Masterpiece Lander.
Yeah. First we need Lander, and then we'll Supreme him up.
All right. I want to see...
Totally didn't misread that question.
Lander had a great episode in Prime. I don't know what you're talking about. I really want to see a Supreme Arachnid, but make her scale to everyone and just give her gigantic spider legs that do everything. Use the Supreme Masterpiece price point to engineer four modes into Arachnid. Unless you're able to do that at a smaller price point, and it's coming sometime, and we don't know about it. I don't know. I want an Arachnid toy. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Question number three. Would you watch a Transtech cartoon with a peaceful Cybertron having to deal with problems from all the other Cybertrons in the multiverse? This being based on the Transtech universe and the Transformers Collectors Club fiction. I would be interested in watching that if the focus of the show was the Transtech characters and not all the cool guess who we brought in this week kind of characters. Like I would not want to watch or as a comic read this Transtech universe if all the Transtech characters were not actually important. I want them to be the important part, and I want the other Cybertrons to be the plot points and the cameos at best. It's just me though. What about you guys? Gog, Transtech the cartoon.
Not really. I mean, we almost got the whole Peaceful Cybertron thing with animated season 4, because that's what I believe that's what Marty Eisenberg said that they were planning on doing, or at least had an idea of. Megatron's captured, so let's spend some time on Cybertron and show some of the things going on there now that this war is quote unquote over. Of course, it wasn't going to last, but
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what I want to see is something along those lines. But I'd rather have that and see that in some form, either in comic book or whatever, rather than doing the Transtech thing. The Transtech, I mean, that was funny. It was a cool little story for what it was, but it's as far as making that more than what it is, I think there's other better things with more potential out there.
That's, I think, also one of the things that I think really sticks out about animated now that it's been a couple of years is that that's the show where even just having a season of the Autobots have won, there were so many wonderful gray zones. There could still have been all kinds of conflict to make some cool stories. Sentinel Prime, for instance.
Yeah. All of them would have revolved around Sentinel Magnus.
Yeah. Seth, what about you? Would you watch a Transtech cartoon based on the TFCC one?
Well, why is Transtech Cybertron peaceful?
It's after they fixed whatever happened at the end of Beast Machines, and then they all became super transcendent and became the Nexus of Worlds and blah blah. And then they weren't even peaceful because Transtech Megatron and Transtech Shockwave were dicks. And Transtech Shockwave was all like, I'm morally ambiguous, and then it was like cutting up people. So it wasn't even all that
what
peaceful.
What was Transtech Starscream up to?
I don't remember. He was up to having his mold vanish.
Himself.
Yeah. Would you watch this show about a peaceful Cybertron that's not actually peaceful and have other multiverses pop boring. In?
That's boring when, like, the most interesting characters aren't the bad guys.
Hmm. It had a cool Shockwave.
Well, yeah, but I would rather see a Transtech thing of its own rather than, like, they have to, like, deal with everybody else's problems.
Hmm.
Why they gotta deal with other continuity's problems? Let them deal with their own damn problems. They got problems of their own to problem out.
I would fully support this show if I got to reprise my role in it. Just thinking about it. I don't know why I'm talking down on this show. I think they should do it. And they should hire me back. And they should bring in Fair Lady Z as well. And do it all right. There's also question number four here. With all the re-releases of the Unicron and Primus molds out, do you think it's time for the new versions of these characters to come out? A version 2, if you will. Thanks for reading, guys. Hope it won't take 3 months to get an answer. XL Hedge took 1.5 months, half that time. So do you guys think that it's time for new Unicron and or Primus toys, now that we've been having the ones from 04 and 05/06 or whatever for so long. Seth?
Well, I mean, they kind of did an update on Unicron, so...
Well, they updated his head.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if there's really... If Hasbro is going to be really interested in trying to do a mass release thing on that size right now. Especially something kind of like a planet. Yeah, it turns into a ball.
Oh.
But it's too small to actually use as a planet.
You gotta make it an interesting... Make it an interesting ball with a mouth.
No, I think if they were to do something on that size right now, it would end up being a bumblebee. A big, giant bumblebee.
What if Bumblebee was Primus? And he turned into a giant planet that was yellow with a huge black stripe running down it.
Don't think that's impossible. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. Now that you mention it.
I'm not trying to say it's impossible. I'm just saying that's Movieverse Primus. Spoiler for Transformers 4.
That's more likely than a... Yeah. I mean, I think it was kind of coming out of left field that they would even do that Amazon release of that Unicron. Hmm. So I just don't think it's in the cards right now.
Gog, what about you? Do you think it's time for new Unicron and Primus toys?
Do I think it's time? No. As far as the future, I'll be surprised if we ever see a new Primus toy, at least something like that Supreme size that we've gotten. Unless for some reason there's ever a Primus in future fiction that transforms like it did in Cybertron Galaxy Force. I don't think there probably will be, but, with Unicron, I mean, my initial reaction was to this question was, well, yeah, I mean, one day we'll probably get a new Unicron, but at the same time, I'm thinking, I mean, fictionally, Unicron's going to pop up again one day. And whether it's anytime soon or whether it's just so far in the future where they say, yeah, we haven't used Unicron in a while. Maybe it's time to revisit him. And my guess would be if they ever do a full-on giant transforming Unicron again, it would be based after a future version of him. But as far as getting, like, them redoing the Unicron, a G1 Unicron again from scratch and making a new mold, I'd be really surprised if that happened. I would think if they do it, it's gonna be a new version of the character that appears in a future fiction.
Yeah, as far as new Unicron toys, I mean, we are getting one. It's called Arc or whatever Unicron in the new United set. It's just the Cybertron Unicron, though. As far as a new mold, Primus, I think, is out of the books, and I certainly hope they stop using the existing Primus toy because he comes with, like, friggin' 4 cyber keys, and it never makes sense anymore because that's a gimmick from 2006, and often it's just like, yeah, he comes with cyber keys, and people are like, cool, what's a cyber key? Unicron, I actually don't think it's that unlikely Unicron will get a new toy. The thing is, it's going to be the Unicron from Transformers Prime, if any Unicron, that's going to get a new toy. And some people may not want that.
Or a future movie.
Yeah, or a future movie. It'll just be a big ball of steel wool with magnets in it to collect debris to float around him. I don't think a new Unicron mold is out of the question. It's just it's not going to be the G1 Unicron. It's going to be the version that is in a current piece of fiction. That's the way I'm looking at it. And even then... I'm not entirely sure that a Prime Unicron toy is imminent. I wouldn't be surprised if one got announced, but I also am not expecting one with all the other members of the cast and robot designs left to fill in so far.
I think that would be something that happens much later in the run,
mm-hmm.
if Prime turns out to be popular enough to warrant it.
Yeah.
I'm personally worried that Prime's just going to be something that exists until the next movie, and then it's just going to get shoved out of the way.
I'm real happy to hear that they're moving into pre-production on a third season, if I read that news story correctly. But I'm not going to feel safe about Prime until I hear they're going into pre-production on a new season when a new movie's happening. when that inevitably comes up. Otherwise, I mean, animated had 3 seasons, and it kind of ended up suffering a little bit due to the timing of things. But anyway, I hope that answered your questions, XL Hedge. I also want to play us a listener voicemail that we got. Once again, many thanks to our very own Gog Dog for assembling these for me so that I don't have to actually think.
That wasn't me. Whoever sent, I don't know who you got those from.
The voicemails? The zip file of voicemails?
Nope.
I thought that... Oh, God. Oh, God. Anyway, I'm going to play this voicemail now, which I, apparently is coming to us from Headmaster Dawn. And
here, oh, right, yeah.
Wait a second. What do you mean, oh, right?
None.
I'm going to play the voicemail right now.
Hey, guys. This is HMRC for EVR, or they're known around BotCon as Headmaster Dawn. Listen, I was just listening to the podcast from this week. Had an idea when y'all were talking about the animated Stunicon third-party kit. If you use the Autobots and this kit comes out and it works, you got your Shattered Glass animated Autobots from the episode Masquerade when the Autobots disguise themselves as Stunticons to stop Megatron from building the giant weapon with the ruby and all that and the crystal and the lenses in the G1 episode. So if this works and you use your Autobots, you got your Shattered Glass Autobots that stayed Minasaur, or being Shattered Glass, they call themselves Defensor. Just a thought I had, wanted to run it past y'all, see what y'all thought, maybe on the show. Anyway, love the podcast, guys. A lot of fun every time I hear it. Y'all take care, and I hope to see y'all at the next BotCon. Have a good one. Bye.
No click. Actually, I like that idea of it being based on that one episode of G1 where they all went crazy and used magnets to combine with each other or something. All the Shattered Glass stuff, though, just made me get confused about the different names. I'm not going to lie. I was like, but then since they're Shattered Glass, they could call themselves Defensor. And I'm like, but they were masquerading already as Menasor. And aren't Shattered Glass Autobots evil, too? And then there's too many layers in here.
Well, if I remember correctly, because this when is this voicemail from?
This is from late June.
Yeah, so this is pretty old. If I'm remembering correctly, I think the discussion was, is we were trying to figure out, like, if they made this third-party kit, and it could only be for people who had the BotCon kit, I think we were trying to speculate as far as if we used, like, the non-BotCon toys that were the same molds, as far as if that would be appealing. Mm-hmm. And I think he – am I right? And I think he's, like, saying that, like, if you did that, they could still apply some fiction to it and base it in, like, existing story point.
And in an homage-y little world,
yeah,
it could be done in a fan naughty kind of way that would hopefully make you smile and go like, oh yeah, I remember that episode.
So yeah, as far as being able to allow people to use the kit that don't have the Stunicons using the Autobot versions of those molds, yeah, that's probably the best idea I've heard. But that also has me thinking, it's like, we haven't heard anything about this kit in a while.
I was about to say, so, adding on to this, now that it's nearly six months since when this voicemail came in, when's the last time we heard from G1 Uppers exactly? Yeah, they've kind of gone quiet. What I've collected in my hearsay of trying to remember what I've read is, like, they haven't canceled it. They just, they're quiet. They haven't made anything that they want to show. It sounds like they weren't. I want to say they were at that toy show in October near over on Vangelis Island, where they were at the Cherry Bomb toy show, and they had like a CAD 3D printout or something of the Motormaster or Menasaur head. So they're doing something. They're just very quiet about it. Seth, this is all about Stunticons.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's a kind of cool idea. I don't think you need to include the Shattered Glass part because I don't like Shattered Glass, and I am even less interested in Shattered Animated Glass.
And
so,
You know,
I mean, that would be a cool way to use this kit if it ever exists, or a cool other color scheme to put the parts out in if it ever exists. So I think it's a cool, obscure idea. And just don't shatter it. Don't shatter the glass.
Seth saying, "I don't care about shattered animated glass," just made Derek J. Wyatt draw an even bigger cloud over his head. I'm quite sure.
I'm sorry, Derek, but...
He's not here.
I gotta say what I feel.
He's not
but
here.
He's listening.
He is.
He's always listening.
It's always, always. He's always somewhere. He's always hearing. You can never get away. You never escape. Yeah, I was talking to Derek on Twitter, and while I was talking to him, he made me realize that, like, next year is the 15th anniversary of Gaugaigar, and now I feel really old. Like, I remember when Gaugaigar was the awesome thing that only I knew about back in, like, the early 2000s, and I felt all special. Now it's 15 years old. How does that happen? Anyway, thank you for the voicemail, Headmaster Dawn. And I hope that they make that Headmaster RC one day. This seems like a perfect time for an intermission, if you ask me. I don't know about you guys. I'm pulling rank. It is intermission time. Ha! So we'll be back in a little bit with what we got this week. And last time I got 100% Transformers. This time I did not get 100% Transformers. So I'm trying to make it fair, you know, for the rest of the guys, to not be so viciously overshadowed by my good percentages, which I'm doing for the sake of all the listeners out. Intermission. Hey, we're back, and I love me a big bowl of soup. We're going to talk about what we got this week, and we're going to start off with the Transformers we got this week, because we like to be on topic first, and off topic second. So I would like to ask Seth, what Transformers you got this week?
I actually bought a Transformer this week, but it wasn't for me.
Oh!
So I can't speak too much on it yet, because I can't really buy something as a gift and then play with it first.
Oh!
Because that'd be wrong.
Oh!
So last night, actually, I braved the mongrel hordes and went to a Toys R Us. And man, that place was crazy.
Really? A few days before Christmas?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. It's kind of weird. Anyway, so I go and I check the regular Transformer section, just hoping, like, hey, maybe they're going to have, maybe they got Prime stuff and...
Oh.
But, okay, so the last time I was at this Toys R Us, when I mentioned being there on the show, I mentioned how they didn't have nothing but movie stuff, and I've never seen a Warpath, and then Gog Dog gets me a Warpath because they're all over Florida. Florida's red with Warpath. Now, just a couple weeks later, I go back to the same Toys R Us. They had like 6 Warpaths. First time I've ever seen it in a store is when it's too late.
Yeah, but if I hadn't sent you that one, you'd never have seen those. That's how it works.
Yeah, exactly. Like, some somewhere a switch was triggered. All right, we could sell these in California now. That one guy got one from somewhere else.
Deploy the Warpaths.
Yeah, we can't torture them anymore, so just let them loose. So I was like, whatever. And they didn't have any Prime stuff anyway, so whatever. But I was there to be Christmas shopping for my nephew. And he is 3.5 or so. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? I'm going to get him a rescue bot. How about that happens? So I got the Optimus Prime rescue bot.
I almost bought that for myself once.
I'll wait till he opens it up on Christmas morning, and then I'll be like, hey, let me show you how that works, buddy.
And just walk off with it.
No. No. But I'll get a chance to see what they're about and not have to find somewhere to keep it. I'll just leave it there at my brother's. I didn't know where they were going to be. I didn't figure they would be with the rest of the Transformers.
Yeah.
So I'm like going up and down the aisles of the section with like the little or kid stuff. And like way back, like, so like there's a main aisle and then like there's these little aisles off and then the back wall had shelves. So like the back end cap of one of the aisles had like these Angry Bird toys, like little, they were called Angry Bird collectible action figures, but they were just round birds. And I'm like, I've never seen these before, but these seem like an awful place to have them on display. Who's ever going to find them back here? Who cares about Angry Birds that is going to be back in this part of Toys R Us? Anyway, that's besides the point. So I'm going up and down looking for them, getting kind of discouraged because I'm running out of these little short aisles and I haven't found it yet. And then, like, I see that the big, like, play set that they have.
Oh, yeah.
The transforming firehouse thing or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's something Rescue bought. And then I looked all around in that area and there was none. And I was like, whatever. So then the very last aisle in the row, in the very back, kind of sideways to where you couldn't even see them, is where they were. Like, they weren't even put on the shelf nice. They were just sort of like, oh, stuff them back here, I guess. So I finally found them. But, like, they had those big, they have those bigger ones. Mm-hmm. With like electronics, like a button you press, like you press their Autobot logo and they make noises and whatnot. And those look kind of cool. Like, they're way more detailed, but they don't transform. So I was like, who needs it?
For some reason I thought they transformed, but I have never actually looked at them either.
They didn't look like they transformed. Maybe they do and I'm totally wrong. I didn't look at them.
You know what? They're probably the same as those movie toys, which are the big untransforming funky robots.
Yeah, they seem more like just big, limited articulation action figures that are just big and rounded where little kids can't choke on anything or bang their faces onto corners. But the robot mode, those robots actually look kind of better than the robot modes on the actual transforming rescue bots, but you know, whatever, they're for little kids, so we'll see how my nephew digs on it. Because like his current obsession, the thing that he's hardcore locked into right now, is cars.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Pixar cars, not just cars in general.
Okay.
And it's really bumming me out how much he loves Mater. It's like, kids, you don't understand. That's Larry the Cable Guy. You're not allowed to love Larry the Cable Guy. But I just have to go, yeah, it's me. And like the whole like tractor tipping scene.
Mm-hmm.
Obsessed. Like, he has toy tractors and he sets up his Lightning McQueen and his Mater and he goes beep and tips his tractors backwards. And he'll have this line of toy tractors all tipped backwards. He's so precious.
That's not like a sign of like future behavior where later in life he's going to just try to flip cars over or anything.
Maybe. If he's awesome. But the problem with that is I can't keep track of all the cars stuff that he has. So that was my excuse not to get anything cars.
There's so much cars merchandise.
Transformers instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, and he has so much of it.
Yeah.
I don't know what's safe to get and what's going to be doubles. So
I didn't want this. I already got this Mater. Ah!
I wanted the Mater with the not the Mater with the D. Because there's like 20 different Mater toys right now.
No, I see them all the time at the Walmart by Dufferin.
That'd be awesome if at like 3 he was like so keyed into collecting that like he even knows variants and stuff.
I want the dude.
We already have the Mater with the green like right rear quarter panel. Like the valuable one is the one that's tan because it's not supposed to be tan, Uncle. And just totally get on my case. Like, hey.
And you're like, listen, let me tell you all about...
Hey. You sound like a Star Wars collector. Why don't you relax, kid?
Why don't you go and become the Hartman of the cars collector community?
Yeah. 3-year-old. Just like, get all up on him. 3-year-old. You're a 3-year-old.
That's all you have to say.
You know how many fingers that is?
Less than a hand.
And then flip them off.
I wanted to throw out there going off of the Rescue Bots tangent, because I suspect this is going to come up in the thread, that I haven't watched the Rescue Bots premiere yet, so I have nothing to say about it, because I haven't watched it yet, but I'm going to.
I'm glad, because I thought we were going to record tomorrow, so I was like, I'll just watch it tomorrow. And then I was like, well,
yeah,
I haven't watched it yet either. And
I forgot about it.
Yeah, I did too, so.
And it sucks, because... I had a lot of people on my Twitter feed saying they really enjoyed it, and I was like, "Oh, good! I'll definitely try to get a hold of a copy." And then all of a sudden, it was Thursday, and I was like, "Oh, wow! That's what I forgot to do this week." So yeah, don't we are not boycotting Rescue Bots or anything crazy like that. Maybe we will. Maybe there's something horrifically offensive in it. Maybe it supports the devaluing of the internet or something. I don't know. But for now, there's nothing insidious. I just forgot.
Well, Rescue Bots is responsible for the collapse of the euro.
Rescue Bots maintains the value of the yen. So was that it for Transformers for you this week?
Yep. Unfortunately.
Aww. Gog, did you transform this week?
Mm-hmm. I got a few.
Oh, you and me both.
Okay, I finally got my blue Prime RC. So,
how do you like that color palette?
Well, first I want to say thank you to Nicole, a.k.a. Hailstorm, a.k.a. Beatles Diva. So she found one locally there and sent it to me.
With stuff.
So, some stuff we're not allowed to talk about. So she can share it with others without spoiling the surprise.
That's right.
Yep. Anyway, yeah, she looks great in that color scheme. It works so much better, I think, than the pink. And I don't have a problem with the pink. I think that her original color scheme, having it in hand, it actually feels like you almost have a new toy. Like, even having the pink one. Because it's like, wow, it just looks so different.
Yeah.
The only issue I had on mine is her left, if you're looking at it, the right shoulder... would not stay in at all. The ball joint, just moving that shoulder, popped out. You put it back on, looked like it was tight, move it, pop. I was really worried, because I was like, man, all the trouble, you know, I'd wanted one, never found one. All the trouble of someone finding it and sending it to me, and now I've got a dud. So I looked inside the ball socket, and there's two little raised areas. And I was like, well, maybe I could shave a little bit of that off. So I had a fairly sharp knife and was in there, and it didn't seem like the plastic was really hard. And I was like, well, maybe this knife isn't as sharp as I thought it was, and didn't really look like it was making any difference. And I'm like, whatever, worry about this later. Put the arm in, it's fine. So apparently there was such a small something in there that was making a difference, and even me scraping away at it, making no noticeable visual change, completely fixed it. Like, you can move it in any direction and it's fine now. So there must have just been some tiny little piece of mold flash or something that was keeping that tolerance off. But so yeah, that's fine. And I had read a couple other people that said they had some trouble with the arm too. So you may want to take a look at that. Maybe just shave a little tiny, almost unnoticeable amount off those raised areas and see if it helps. But I don't know if that's a widespread issue or if that was just something that affected mine, but I'm passing it along just in case. But yeah, that she's a great figure. I like her, and I think she works way, way better in blue for sure. I got another figure that I was looking forward to getting for a while and finally got a hold of it because one of the Mimas from the Canadian area posted in a sale thread. So I finally got a hold of a Fox Kids black repaint Transmetal Tarantulas.
Oh, so, I remember this one. Yeah, this is the really cool one.
Yeah. So I like, it's great. Great. It's silver chrome, replaces all the orange chrome bits, but it's just one of those repaints where it's like, it's really cool. I love Tarantula, so I was happy to get it, and never really bid on it because it was a slightly harder to find repaint. The price was always a little more than what I was willing to pay, but
yeah, he's the one Fox Kids repaint I find that really maintained his value because he was kind of from the show in a way.
Yeah, and well, they also did like a Bakon comic with him in it or something too.
Yeah, yeah.
I think from what I was reading about it, it was back in the 3H days, and then I guess when 3H lost the license, and so the comic was never actually completed.
There's a 3D comic or 3D animation related to that comic somewhere. Either 3D or Flash? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it's Flash. But yeah I know what you're talking about. So yeah, it's great. I like that mold. That mold is really good, and it's every time I get one of these Beast Wars figures, I'm kind of like, man, I wish they'd revisit these characters a little more often sometimes, but I'd love to have, and some of the classics Beast Wars figures turned out better than others. I mean, Cheetor, good old Meth Kitty.
Oh, Cheetor.
It wasn't the best figure by any means.
The other day, Meth came up in a conversation and I tried to share the Meth Kitty joke and nobody understood what I was talking about. And I was like, this is not a joke for regular people to ever hear. Now they all just think I'm a really insensitive person.
Wait a minute. Let me get my iPhone out. I'll find a picture on through the Google. Okay, see this big hump? That's a meth lab. Okay, it's funny now, right? No, it's funny. Do you get it? It's a meth lab in his back. He's a robot that turns into a cat. He's Meth Kitty.
And then I'm actually just sitting there by myself this entire time, trying to pretend that they're still there.
Hey guys, but. But I mean, the Dinobot turned out great, and I think that some of these characters, at least some of the really major Beast Wars characters, certainly deserve a modern shot. But even so, it's like whatever. The figures that are out there are still pretty good. It's not like buying a G1 figure and then you look at it and it doesn't look like anything it does on the show, and it's a brick. And it's like, well, I like it for nostalgia, and it's cool because this is, you know, this is like the original version of this toy line, but you know, so with the Beast Wars figures, at least you got the ball joints and the articulation and stuff. So
yeah, and he's the Transmetal 2 one, right?
Better. He's just Transmetal 1, I think. Right?
Sorry, Transmetal 1, Transmetal 2, yeah. Scourge. Yeah, so he's got the third mode.
That was the one where Dinobot rode him at gunpoint in the show. So I think when he was. Wasn't in the beginning he shared his body with Black Arachnia? Like she was the first, stuck in his head? Yeah.
And the first Black Arachnia toy was a repaint of his original toy.
Right. But when he got his Transmetal 2 body or something, it revolved around him like sharing something with Black Arachnia, and then she ended up getting a new body because of it, her Transmetal body, whatever. It's been a while since I've seen it. I got all the DVDs too. I need to rewatch those because I bought all the Shout DVDs.
Did Krasis actually get around to watching Beast Wars?
I don't know.
I
know he bought it, and I know he started.
Yeah.
But I don't know how far he got into it. So I need to, trying to get that guy to respond to you in any form other than complimenting his podcast is very difficult.
Yeah, we got to get on that guy. I mean, and all the people around him are letting him get away with this fairly grievous fan crime.
Oh yeah, if you send a tweet to @preorder66, he will respond to you quick. If you respond directly to him and ask him any questions at all, or send him a text message on his phone or an email, you got about a 1 in 25 chance that he'll acknowledge you. So, and whatever.
Well, you have to open with a compliment.
Okay,
just open with "love you, love the show."
Have you
watched Beast Wars yet?
Have you tried opening with an insult and just see if that works? Saying.
This is definitely worth gathering some.
You got to think outside of the box sometimes, all right? Especially with these high-end toy collectors, like these guys who buy their you know, avowed fans of Metacom, like Crasis.
Everyone should tweet to @Crasis, CRASIS, and ask him if he's watched Beast Wars, and if not, pester him about it.
I'm not going to lie.
Over and over again.
I watched Spartacus Blood and Sand for the first time a while ago, like the first couple episodes, and there's a character in it whose name, it's not spelled the same, but they all call him Crasis, and he's this gladiator dude, and he's a huge buff gladiator, and he has this scene where he's completely naked screaming at a guy in a sauna, and I was like laughing my head off, and no one in the room knew why I was laughing, because they kept calling him Crasis.
Crasis has cosplayed as Snake Eyes, so he's kind of a warrior, right?
Yeah. This Crasis is kind of a jerk.
Maybe he could cosplay as a naked gladiator now.
Listeners, tweet to @Crasis and recommend that he tweets or that he cosplays as a naked gladiator.
As Crassus, spelled Crassus, but pronounced Crasis, from Spartacus Blood and Sand.
Which coincidentally is how Empire always pronounces his name, Crassus.
Oh.
Yeah, we're going full circle.
Lord, well,
anyway,
yeah.
I got a couple more Transformers. I got something that I normally don't delve into. I got a couple of knockoffs. I got a knockoff of... It's definitely something I want to discuss, so save it. Keep your mouth shut until I call on you.
Just don't dishonor our brand. There's no honor among thieves. Right?
So, I got two Korean knockoffs, both of Headmaster Juniors from Master Force, one of Minerva and one of Ghost Shooter. They are two figures that are really hard to find. And I'm not sure to the degree of Ghost Shooter as much as I am Minerva. You can find a yellowed Minerva that's missing all of her guns and her headmaster and no stickers, and it'll cost you $500-$600.
Yeah, she's kind of hard to get.
Yeah. If you want one that's in good shape, it's probably going to cost you over $1,000. And I'm guessing that's even without packaging.
Can I share an anecdote?
Sure.
I remember a BotCon a few years ago. Where the dudes who run the Japanese dealers who come down all the time from Osaka, they had a Minerva and they had like a rock, paper, scissors competition, and like over 20 people entered it. And the winner of that competition would then get to purchase Minerva for only like $400 or $500 in the box.
That's a pretty good chance.
That is a fantastic example of Minerva. Like there were 20 plus guys playing rock, paper, scissors in elimination brackets for the chance of paying still nearly $500,000 for the toy.
Yeah. So, okay. Super hard to find figure. I don't know all the factors that involve that because I'm not the guy who goes and keeps track of the availability of all the Japanese exclusive figures. I do know that some are harder to find than others. I do know that Minerva is... technically, from what I understand, the first female Transformer ever. So that may or may not be playing into this for that reason. So, not sure. Regardless, she's super hard to find. And if you do find one, unless you are willing to drop hundreds, over $1,000 for a decent one, you're not going to own one unless you already do. Unless you just find the deal of the millennium. So, this somebody from Korea... put out some knockoffs of And Ghost Shooter is, he's another, there's three Headmaster Junior Autobots from Master Force. You have Minerva, Ghost Shooter, and Cab. I don't think Cab is in high demand because, unlike Ghost Shooter, who is a repaint of Headmaster Siren in America, or in the West, you know, don't want to be a nationalist on you, Canadians and Europeans.
Apple but, pie.
Minerva is a repaint of G1 Nightbeat. But the color schemes are fairly different on those two, whereas Cab was Hosehead in the West, and there's no very little, if any, difference on that figure at all. So Cab is much easier to find than the other two. Okay, so got the knockoffs. Plastic quality is pretty good. Like, this feels like it would be like a G1 toy. It doesn't feel cheap or like it's going to break or anything. It's really good. But it was definitely made in a way that it was never meant to be confused with the original. The packaging looks nothing like Transformer packaging. Stickers are completely different. But even the colors. Minerva is molded mostly in the same colors as the original, except for her torso is black instead of white. And on her chest, on her left side of her chest, where she has like a little triangular-shaped molding, was replaced with a red cross molding, kind of, you know, referencing her role as a medic emergency vehicle, which is really just a Porsche, but, you know, she's an emergency Porsche. The head of the rescue squad has to ride in style, I guess. So definitely molded and colored and remolded in a way, so it was never meant to really be confused with the original, which I appreciate that, because that's one thing with a lot of knockoffs that I despise, is they try to pass themselves off and fool people who are dropping good money who might not know how to tell the difference. And unless you are super active in the online fandom and you're hitting up eBay, some of these things are, especially from the small pictures you're seeing, next to impossible to find on your own, whether it's a legitimate one or a knockoff. And those are the kind of people that they really prey on. So, I felt much better about these, because much like those Headmaster knockoffs that we talked about back in 2010 at BotCon, where Foster Logger had bought the set. I think it was like a set of 8 or 10 Headmasters.
Yep, I got a set too. They're very nice, and I was going to say that I very much that is where I feel there is a line between these things. I know there are some who will just paint with a giant brush and say it's all the same.
Yeah, and I want to get into that. I do want to have a discussion after that, after I'm done. But I do want to talk about these guys. So,
yeah, no worries.
But yeah, that's definitely something that I want to get into, because I think it's worthy of a brief discussion. But I'm not as familiar with Ghost Shooter. I didn't actually compare him to his G1, but they do have some differences, where on the original toys, the chest would flip down so that when you inserted the Headmaster unit, it would give you, like, the little tumblers would depress and it would show you spec readouts. Mm-hmm. These don't have that. They're just, that gimmick is removed completely, and it's just plastic there with some molded detail in its place. So either way, there's no way of confusing these with the original in that regard. Quality's pretty good, I guess. I've never had the original use mold, so I can't really compare them to that. The shoulder ratchets, which I think were meant to be ratchets in the original Minerva, don't really function, but there's plenty of friction there, so her arms or anything like that is not hampered. But otherwise, they're pretty cool, and they're definitely toys that I've always had my eye on. I like the characters from Master Force. If these were anyway easy for me to obtain, or not even easy, but just by normal means, like, I don't feel like it takes the place of the originals, because I still would love to get my hands on the originals, and I would love for Takara to reissue these. And this has led hearing about these when they were first shown on a feedback thread in TFW, these knockoffs, both that and after I gotten them, it's led to several discussions with people between me and other people saying that Takara, I really wish that they would go back and do this stuff instead of releasing G1 Starscream for like the 8th time in 5 years or something. Mm-hmm. So it just seems like there's so many of these older molds that there's such a high demand in that even a smaller run would really fulfill a need there. But so yeah, it's and I did get to thinking about it too when I bought it. It's like, because you know, I've always come down really hard on knockoffs, and I'm I don't know. Well, there's definitely factors in why I've done that. One is because being part of this fandom for so many years, I've seen some of the people on a definitely a personal basis of who were involved in the knockoffs and the selling of knockoffs, and knowing that those people are getting money really turned me off, because I think that there's in very specific areas, and I don't want to make this a discussion about that, but mm-hmm. There are certainly some people that I have seen involved in the selling of knockoffs to the community over the last few years that I would have been appalled knowing that they have gotten a cent of mine, or were, if I had purchased from them and from that point on. So that right there kind of, and just hearing some of the things about, you know, the competition between them and the undermining of each other and trying to appeal to the fans and the dirty things they do to each other. So, and I don't know that that doesn't happen in Korea with these knockoffs. So, but the fact that at least I know that some of those other people aren't involved in these definitely made me open an eye. But it's also the fact that, like, take with iGear and like what we talked about early in the episode with their reproduction masterpiece Ramjet. Like, they're actively competing right now with the people who own that toy and are making versions of that mold that they copied. Regardless of whatever tweaks they made, their designs are still based upon the a product right now that is on the market or in pre-order or whatever and sold.
Yeah, and physically yeah, not just in terms of IP, right, or imagery, but the physical engineering.
Yeah, important. And I'm not. I don't want anybody to mistake this for me calling out people who are buying the products. I'm not doing that at all. It's just me along the lines of from a business perspective. But it's like with these figures, like there are many, many people who would love to own these toys, but because of the price and because they haven't been available for between 25 and 30 years, it's impossible for people to own these. And these molds are not being sold. They're not being marketed. And there's, outside of buying a Nightbeat, which is already kind of expensive, but then you would have to ruin it by completely repainting it into another character. It's just, like, I wouldn't feel right about doing that, because you're basically destroying a toy to make a fake version of another toy. So I don't really feel like that's the best option. So, like, and this doesn't hamper my desire to buy those toys at all. Like, if I find myself in a position to where I can find one for an affordable price and I have the money to do it, like, in fact, I think these toys actually kind of make me want to go out and get the originals even more, because it's like, I have them, I think these are cool, and now I know that the other ones with the, you know, with the actual real molds that are, you know, have better with higher QC and don't have gimmicks removed, like I still have every desire to want to own those and go back and get those one day, and it's, but, like, I would love for these to be reissued. I'll be the first one to pre-order them if they are, but... Yeah, so it's, yeah, like, I found myself a little bit, like, wondering, like, you know, am I being a hypocrite? And I don't think I am, but...
Well, I mean, that's all in the eye of the beholder, given what I've seen of these discussions and, you know, the clear way that some people want to have a discussion but don't want to admit that they are using terminology in completely different ways than other people. Just the way that I see it, to add my own viewpoint in this, is that, as you said, there's, I believe, and I would argue this point... There is a difference between, actually, just going back to that ages three and up thing. There's a difference between the knockoff G1 tapes or the knockoff G1 Autobot cars that are literally trying to look right down to the packaging like the original G1 toys with nothing that a casual passerby would be able to identify as marking them as counterfeit. I don't like that. Because not because it cheapens the hobby, not because it nullifies like some kind of past expensive purchase I or other people would have made, but because it can potentially be used to deceive and swindle future fans or current fans who don't know their stuff as well as other people do. And that's the difference between that and between the thing you're talking about, those Korean knockoffs, or between that knockoff set of the Headmasters, where those things have extremely obvious and very clear ways that they are not the originals. Some people say, oh, those Headmasters just have missing trademark copyright bits. It's like, yeah, they also don't have the packaging. They cannot be sold as the original Headmasters mint in box, which is their most valuable form. And then if you see them loose, you can see in 2 seconds if the copyright stuff is missing. Granted, that is foreknowledge, but it's a whole lot of a different level to me. And with these things, they don't look like the originals, and their packaging does not in any way, shape, or form look like the originals. So these knockoffs, especially that Minerva, I think they're fine, because nobody will ever be able to pass those off as the originals without doing a huge amount of work themselves. And even then, all you have to do is like scrape the abdomen on Minerva and go, oh, hey, wait, this is the wrong plastic color. Boom. It's not real.
Right, and that would also require deceit on an individual's part who had taken the time to do that.
Exactly.
So it's not from the people who created it. And that's not to say that the people who made these knockoffs are without any fault.
They're not saying they're virtuous.
Because it's definitely not – these aren't their toys. They did copy someone else's toys. But like I said, these are toys that are 30 years old, and – if Takara was to release these, I have to believe that people would buy them. If you have people out there that are paying hundreds of dollars for these, and again, that's you could probably count 15 people who are willing to do that right now, or you know, if that.
Proto Man.
Well, I ask him about it, and you should hear the story he has about the one that he has, because he has one. It's just not in the best of shape, and I don't think he wanted to tell me how much he had paid for it, but. Hey, at least he can say that he has an original, I suppose. But, you know, it's just, again, going back, there are lots of figures out there that I really, 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 really wish that they, even if it was limited, even if I had to pay an expensive amount for a reissue, because I like G1 toys. I also like mint G1 toys, and I like to open them, and I like to mess with them. I like to put them on display, and I like to take pictures of them. I don't feel like buying a $1,500 Minerva or whatever that's mint in sealed box, only to just open it, because it's like all the years that someone took for this really rare toy that's super expensive, they took the time to keep it mint, and then buy it and open it up, it just feels like a waste. And especially it pays for the waste because you're paying the money because it's mint, and then instantly devaluing all that because you just opened it up. So. Yeah. Like, well, I mean, please, I wish that they would go back and, like, revisit some of this stuff and reissue it.
Yeah, and I will say, there are people who have made an argument that I totally believe. It's nothing I would ever do, but this is like the you know, that Simpsons clip of Krusty the Clown buying Fabergé eggs to throw at the wall of an alleyway. But there are people who say, I buy mint-sealed box $1,500 toys, and I pay the premium so I can be the one to open them. And it's like, if you want to do that... Sure,
and that's fine. I have no problem if you have the money to be able to afford that. Hey, more power to you.
I wish I could
do that, but it you're paying a premium because it's mint, and it just seems instantly you're going to be throwing away like $500 just by doing that or somewhere around there. So, you know, I'm just one of those weird people where I'm totally into G1. I love it. But I don't want to pay the premium for the vintage toys only to instantly devalue all that by opening up, because I'm the guy that wants to open it up. And if I was a millionaire, I'd own every G1 toy there is. I'd buy it mint in box and I'd open it. And I'd have a giant room with all of them on display, minty fresh. But I ain't that guy. And so yeah. I'd still love the opportunity to own this stuff one day. And I will buy it officially. I'll have it pre-ordered. It'll be mine. But, you know, it's just...
At end of the day,
you gotta give it to me.
I think we are in agreement. You and I, at least, are in agreement of the idea that there is a difference between counterfeit. Like, there's a difference between knockoffs and counterfeits, and counterfeits are the nasty thing. And I know that there are people who don't believe that. That's fine, but
and again, like I can't name a single knockoff that I care about and that I would want. And it's not something that I'm into. Like, and there's plenty of people that are, and that's fine. Like, again, I'm not talking smack on anybody what you're into.
We're kind of reiterating the thing of just because the rest of the internet is crazy doesn't mean we are. So we don't hate you if you don't think the way we do.
Yeah, but it's more of a line like, I do have a problem with companies when they're taking molds and they're trying to compete. Like even the guys who had knocked off like the classic Seekers and all that stuff. It's like, well, those are still molds that are kind of in use, and it's like people are making active decisions like, well, should I buy this or should I buy this version because the color is a little different, I like that more. And that has now stolen a sale from the people who own that figure. That's, you know, and like, again, I'm not, it's just, like, it would be hard for me to support something like that. Same thing with, like, BotCon knockoffs. I would much rather save up the money and just purchase the legitimate figure off of someone, even if I knew that I could afford a knockoff for a much cheaper price. Like I am always about getting the original figure, but it's just, for me, this is just a special case of I know until this is reissued, which it may never, ever be. In my lifetime. And so, and if it is, I have no problem getting it. These figures are not taking sales away from Hasbro or Takara or anything of that nature. So, and with me, I feel much more comfortable with that. But we all have our own little sets of morals and values, and I think I'm comfortable with mine. So,
Seth, are you quietly seething over there as we're trampling all over your own sets of values about toys?
Well, I do have a morality question, because what Korea are we talking about over here?
Oh, hey, look.
I don't know. Kim Jong-un's evil monster North Korea?
I don't know. I might have just supported World War III. I have no idea.
You
just unned.
Oh, jeez. I don't... You know what? The gentleman from Florida has the floor again. I have to give him his time back.
I've been playing Homefront recently.
Oh, no.
So, you know, this is all right on the surface for me, man. I've been fighting North Korea for your freedom, and you're just buying their knockoff Minervas? What's the matter with you? You're not American.
I thought you drove a pickup truck. What is real.
But, yeah.
there's a Kim Jong-un joke, but some people might take it way too political, so I'm not going to say it here, but
okay.
It was from Letterman. I thought it was pretty funny. Maybe I'll tell you after we're done recording.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to say about this is that one of the reasons why I did get it is because I don't know if it's someone affiliated with Repro Labels, or if it's them actually. I know that they said that they're going to do a set, but they made a Repro Labels forums, and it was basically saying, they said, if you sign up to the board, if you send us a picture of you either owning the original figures or the knockoffs, we'll send you a set of Repro Labels for either whichever one of those figures you own or both for free. So
that's cool.
That's really cool. Yeah. So I got mine in. Sent me a picture of me holding up the toys, and he emailed me back saying we're good. And that was just because he doesn't want people just saying, yeah, man, I'll take a set of those and then selling them or something. He wants it. He has no problem giving them to you for free. So I'm not affiliated with that at all. I have no idea how long that offer is going to be available, or whatever, but it was in the news and rumors section on TFW. But
that's very cool.
But yeah, if you have the knockoffs or if you want them, get them. I got them from highendtfs.com, I think it was, and they're $20 each, so definitely affordable, especially if you only want one. And the shipping was pretty quick, so came in just a couple days, priority mail. So the other thing that I found interesting too was I have the little PVC, because I have several of those. Super collection figure PVCs, and I had the one with Metal Hawk that came with the human Minerva.
Yeah.
And she's a little small, but it works. I was like, that's kind of cool. So you can have her standing all knock-kneed and scary looking next to her robot car. So.
Awesome.
But, yeah.
It's so exciting. Don't mind me.
Yeah. That's it. That's the Transformers I got this week.
Oh, well, I just got some Transformers this week today in the mail. Because I'm all out of Prime toys to buy. Oh. My good buddy and listener to the show, and on Twitter. His name has a zero for an O. His name is Ichabod on Twitter. My pal Joe, he told me a while back that he had sent two boxes this way and that I was to receive them. And I was like, what? Let me. And he's like, no. So that's how that went down. But there's stories behind a whole bunch of stuff in these boxes. The Transformer side of things. One of the boxes was just like there. He was doing something. I think he forgot the story behind it. He got them for someone else, and then that didn't happen. So we sent them over here. So now I got the two final generations toys, Sky Shadow and Scrap Heap. And Sky Shadow really does look better than Thunderwing.
He's awesome, right?
Yeah, right down to it's kind of like that thing with the RC toy that you were just talking about, where it feels like a completely different toy. And to me, I'm getting that feeling from this guy. Like I have Thunderwing, but this does it's everything about it just feels tighter. And I really do love this thing. I also forgot about how goofy the way that the two giant guns link together, how that mechanism works, where you push them together, but if you do it a little bit too hard, you fire a missile as well. So that was kind of a moment of adventure. And I also was really eager to see, because I forgot if anyone had mentioned it. So I went and I was like, oh, he still has a little drone in the nose cone as well. Hooray. So yeah, if you see Sky Shadow, he's totally worth your time. The color palette on him is just awesome. He's a badass. Head sculpt is beautiful. He's got big ears and he rocks them like a champion. And Scrap Heap is lovely. I have two Rekgars. And what's odd is that now that I can compare them, I find that Rekgar's pelvic clips clip into another Rekgar better than they clip into Scrap Heap, which is kind of funny to me. But Scrap Heap is really cool. I like his color palette, and I love that he's the Rekgar mold, but with a head that can actually look around without having little plastic mustache bits getting in the way of his own collar. They're both fine toys. If you see them, I would recommend them. Is my Scrap Heap falling apart like Rekgar? Not so far. I put the axe in and out of his right hand a few times, and there is like that minor little stress line, but I am of the conclusion that that's just an aspect of the toy, not a potential breakage. I like them. I think it's a nice, really strong pair of toys that are a great current end to generations. I got another Transformer, though, and this is one that I had a really weird and semi-desperate Twitter conversation with Ichabod about. He was bumming around, and he found those new Power Core Combiner value packs, where it's a 5-pack with a 2-pack stuck to the side of it with packing tape. And it's from the final wave of 5-packs. And he says, hey, I found an Overrun. And I was like, who's Overrun? And I thought about it. And I was like, and then I Twittered him. I was like, dude, can you please get that Overrun, like, right now? Because we never had him in Canada. And I really want him. He's one of the last ones I need. And so he's like, what's so special about him? And I'm like, are there stickers where his name is? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, I need that right now. So he grabbed that and threw that in the box. And while I was, because I wanted to remove all that nasty packing tape, because he just sent me the Overrun. while I was removing the packing tape, exactly one Overrun sticker came off with the packing tape and revealed to me that this is an offensive toy. And I cannot believe that for all these months, they were right under my nose selling a toy with such a horrifying name.
What was it called?
It was Spastic.
Oh!
Sorry. I'm sorry that... You know what? It's reality, okay? The news sometimes has to report on reality. And the reality is, I've already notified a very well-respected UK newspaper about this development. And I didn't mean to break it here on this podcast, but there is a Transformer whose name, despite the stickers that very easily come off, almost intentionally, his name is in fact Spastic. I didn't know that there was even a sticker on his name on his instruction booklet. I thought they would have just printed new instruction booklets, but no. And I also want to say that I actually kind of like this. I opened him up while we were recording, and while I was opening him, my knife I was using to cut through the eco-friendly twist ties totally went too far, and I totally nicked my thumb and was like, you know, bleeding a little bit, just going like, you stupid, and, you know, came out. But I actually like this toy more than the original two-pack version. I love the color palette on it, and I like the figure. For as derpy as it can be when you plug all the little drones onto him, the stunted cons or whatever they're called. I actually kind of like him just as a robot in a car in that color palette. So thank you, Ichabod. And I'm going to be thanking Ichabod again because there were non-Transformers in those boxes too. But I'm proud to say that I now own all of the Power Core Combiner 5-packs. And I'm one step closer to becoming King Number One Ace Transformer Collector. Once I collect those three last repaint Power Core 2-packs, I'll have all the North American Power Core toys and I'll be better than everyone else. So count your time, ladies and gentlemen. You and I, we stand on equal ground now, but soon I will be king and you will be the subjects and the court jesters. Anyway, those are all the Transformers I got this week. Let's go off topic. And I want to know, Seth, what did you get for yourself that was off topic this week?
I have a couple things sitting in my big bad toy store pile of loot, but I have a lot of pre-orders there all for December.
Would you say that you might have 66 pre-orders?
Not that many, no. But, like, a couple months ago, I had a case where, like, in 3 days, three different things came in and shipped. So I paid shipping three times.
Ew!
So, yeah, that I don't want that to happen anymore. So I'm holding off waiting. But, and I'll talk about them when I actually do get them. But right now, there's the Walking Dead TV version, Wave 1. So it's a Rick, a Daryl, and a couple of zombies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's waiting. And the Reveltech Wally.
I want that. That thing looks cool.
Don't you? I thought you were getting the Finding Nemo.
Hey, no, I'm kind of prejudiced against goldfish. I'm not going to lie.
You're not getting the Lightning McQueen.
It's not Mater, so no.
You're not getting that weird drill submarine thing?
Of course I'm getting the drill submarine thing.
But things I did actually get. Thanks to Gog Dog and a combined order I got from 3A, that damn large Martin Japan defense.
Oh!
With Square. So it's a really cool paint job. Like, there's Japanese characters, there's English writing, there's weathering and white and red paint.
I like the color scheme on that. I'm kind of jealous. Want to get me one of those.
Yeah, it's a pretty good set. And then way back, like last April, I pre-ordered the Deplume and Drop Cloth Jungle 2-pack and a DYI Deplume. Now here comes the complaining. Ew. So as we've discussed, 3A does not, you know, inform you when an order is shipped, and they don't provide you with any sort of tracking numbers. So the other day I get home and there's a tag on the door from FedEx saying, this requires a signature and you're not going to get it unless we get a signature. Which is the second time something that has come from 3A has required a signature, but not every time. I've gotten other deliveries from 3A that didn't require a signature, so it seems pretty random. When I put in the door tag number, which actually now gives me access to tracking information, it said one of two, and that that it was labeled as Deplume 2-pack. Mm-hmm. So I put in a request to have it held at a shipping center that I could pick it up at. get it picked up. It's only a single box, and it's the DYI to Plume, not the two-pack, as the shipping thing was labeled as. And the label on this box says DIY to Plume, not two-pack, so they didn't just have an incorrect label on. So I don't know if that two-pack is still in transit somewhere, or if it's been separated and is now sitting in Windsor where the FedEx depot is. I don't know what's going on. So I tried asking, I guess we could keep calling him 3A's community manager on Twitter.
Yes, yes.
Gimbat. Like, did these ship at the same time? Because this is my problem. And before he replied to me, he had tweeted that if you were trying to contact 3A's customer service, you're going to have to wait because they're closed till the end of the holidays. And then he got back to me like, oh, as far as I know, they ship close together. So that's no hope whatsoever.
Well, I'm sure that if you go to the shipping map and put a tack in for the DIY to Plume, that's when your thing will ship. It's waiting for you to do your part of the process.
Yeah, it's kind of nonsense that these things are coming from FedEx requiring signatures, yet we can't be supplied a tracking number so we even know that it's on the way to be home or for somebody to be home.
Yeah. Well, maybe they sent it by Canada so you can also get hit with a 50% customs fee as well.
Well,
swing it through our system once.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll be emailing people until it hopefully shows up. I don't know what's going on. It's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
But anyway, so DYI to Plume. He comes on one of those big, huge bubble cards. I haven't really had time to mess with them too much because, I mean, I just picked it up today on the way home from Hrek. But he is all white. He is totally white. The only color on him is the clip on his belt is black plastic and the 3A logo on his shirt. Otherwise, everything seems to be white. I can't really see his gun. I haven't opened it up yet, obviously. Like, even the lenses on his mask is white. So, it's kind of neat looking, all white. But
I like the stated concept that you could take him as being just a horrifying clean freak who dips himself in bleach every day.
Yeah. And I guess paints over the lenses of his mask with opaque white paint.
Clean.
Then I believe the only other off-topic thing I've gotten is the Colgrim Warp Bike set.
Yeah. I'm whenever I order any Glioses, Canada Customs always sits on them for a while. So I'm still waiting on mine. But
still waiting. Maybe yeah. It's with my two-pack Diplume.
I guess maybe they sent it through Canada just to, hey, what can we do to... Merry Christmas! Canada Customs has decided to send you a charge to help out your northern neighbors.
I like helping my neighbors.
So, did you just order... You just ordered the Colgrim Grim Reaper bike, right?
Yes.
And how is it?
They're pretty cool. I don't know... Like, it's not grabbing me to the point where, okay, now I'm a Glios collector.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I see other things that kind of tickle my fancy, I may get more. But I'm not actively now seeking them out all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I like it. I think the fact that it's painted makes it a little more appealing to me than the unpainted ones that seem to be more the norm. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Everybody has their own personal preferences.
You might find it interesting. Jesse, the guy who does Colgrim, he said that is an example of kind of where he'd like to take Colgrim for the next year, is to go into like production painted stuff with weathering and whatnot.
Yeah, and there is weathering on the bike. It's not super elaborate, but it's better than you see on a lot of just like retail kind of toys.
Mm.
Like clearly there's a little more effort put into it than just, hey, it's molded in these colors and maybe there's a handful of paint apps. No, that whole thing is covered in paint. But it's not weathered to like the crazy extent that like 3A stuff is weathered.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but as far as the little dude, pretty cool. Like that, there's a texture to the fabric used on the scarf,
mm-hmm.
and I think the scarf fabric must have been treated in some way. Like if there was a wash of paint put over it, or
did I send you the like a
thin down?
Did I send you the link to the photo of when those were a work in progress?
I don't think you sent it to me. I think you just tweeted it.
Oh, okay.
And I did see it.
I'll send you a picture while you're talking.
Was there some?
I hear this
something that
yeah. There's a blog post
with it being treated.
Well, this it's more so it indicated the larger piece of fabric they all came from.
Oh,
but he basically yeah, was sitting there for a day making little scarves.
Because there's kind of a stiffness to it.
I think he puts a bit of like glue stuff onto them to make them hold their shape.
Yeah, like maybe a thin down Elmer's.
Yeah.
Because I remember that was something that I would do when I would customizing Warhammer figures.
Mm.
Like you can make like bed rolls or like rolled up, you know, bits of whatever you want it to be, like a back, like a sleeping bag or something.
Yeah.
To attach to backpacks or sides of tanks. And what you could do is like you get like the really coarse toilet paper with no kind of embroidered designs or anything. Roll it up. Get some little pieces of wire to use as the like the line that it's tied up in.
Mm-hmm.
And then thin down Elmer's glue and brush that over it and it dries clear and makes everything stiff and solid. So I was wondering if maybe that's kind of the deal.
I suspected something like that, because that's what the scarf is like on my custom Call Grim I got a couple months ago.
Yeah, and I kind of don't want to move it around too much to, like, pop the head off or whatever.
Hmm.
Just because now it also kind of feels a little brittle.
And yeah.
I don't want to risk anything. But no, like, I think the paint job's good. I think the design is definitely pretty neat. I mean, the helmet is super white. So you get a nice contrast with all the dark colors of all the rest of it, like between the bike and the rest of the dude's body, which I mean, the rest of the guy's body is like black and like a dark metallic.
Mm-hmm.
And the bike is like black with a little bit of red and like metallic scratches for the weathering.
It's kind of interesting. Also, like I was wondering what your reaction to it was going to be, because it's like it's the one GLaDOS toy that's mass produced that is also like completely in the face of GLaDOS's biggest underlying draw, which is popping it apart and putting it together in different ways. Like even the bike, the two swivel joints on it use the same connection as the other two vinyl toys that GLaDOS has made. So that you can, like, I'm just going to send you a link to a picture here. The guy who did that bike, he has, like, unpainted vinyl chunks kicking around. So he took pieces from the bikes and from the rig and from the Armadoc, the other two vinyls, and then just, like, mushed them together into a giant robot and painted it in Constructicon colors to see what would happen. So, This is the thing, is like that bike is actually has massive potential for like cross building, but the only version available right now is like custom painted.
Yeah, and that set is probably more expensive than you want to pay just to butcher for parts.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, also going into the figure, like as I was messing with him the first time, I was like, man, if only he also had elbows and knees.
Yeah.
But I understand, you know, the limitations, the very small scale of this company and how they operate. So, I mean, I'm not saying like, yeah, screw this. It doesn't have elbows and knees.
And that's the bummer. Because
if it did,
well, usually what you tell people is like, well, just, you know, drop $8, buy two Axis joint sets, and then give him elbows and knees. The problem being, since these figures are painted, you'd want to paint the Axis joints or they'd stick out like a sore thumb. Yeah. So,
but like, I mean, I definitely see the appeal. It's just not 100% in my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. But
I was surprised you ordered the bike.
This set. Huh?
I was surprised you ordered the bike, actually, when you tweeted me.
Yeah, I thought it looked cool.
Yeah, it's neat.
I thought the bike looked cool. I thought that really white, clean head and the dark rest of the body and the scarf, I just thought everything looked kind of neat. And I thought, hey, you know what? If I'm ever going to check this out, this is the coolest looking thing I've seen yet. Mm-hmm. So instead of waiting around and maybe never seeing anything that also looks cool. There is a little part swapping around that you can do with it without disassembling anything too radically. Mm-hmm. He has a backpack that's made up of several parts. And two of the parts you could pop off and switch around a little bit to become pistols.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another aspect about the backpack, which is kind of cool. But once you don't have yours yet, I don't want to spoil what it is.
Oh, I haven't heard about that. I thought I got spoiled, but I haven't been. Because I found out about another thing, but I didn't find out about...
Well, what did you find out?
I found out about the blueprints in the box. Like, okay, the G.I.
Joe... That's not what I'm talking about.
Okay, because I found out there's like old like G.I. Joe vehicle-style blueprints in the packaging.
Yeah, well, I didn't even realize what it was at first, but it actually says on the box, like on the outside of the box, like the bottom of the box,
mm-hmm.
like includes blah, 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 and bop, bop. Oh. I'm like, where's that? And I'm all digging around in the box. I'm like, there's nothing else in here. Like, where's this thing? I don't know where this thing is. And then I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to look at the dude a little bit. Hey, wait a minute. Here it is. It's part of the backpack. Let me take this apart. Oh, yeah. That's it. Okay. So, yeah. There's something there.
Hmm. I hope I get mine this year. I'm hoping it'll show up next week. Otherwise, it'll be next year.
Oh, my friggin' Jungle 2 perk, damn it.
Yeah. No, I guess we're both waiting on something this year. Although, your Jungle 2 pack... There's a reason why mine's not here yet, which is called Canada Customs. There is no reason why you don't have your Jungle 2-pack yet.
No, there's a reason.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a good one. There's a reason.
Well,
there's a reason.
If you just put the tack into the shipping map, everything will run smooth. That's how it works. How the Mafia does it. Did you get anything else this week?
I believe that is it.
Alrighty. Mr. Gogdog, how off topic did you go?
I got a bit. A little bit.
Whoa.
Little bit.
Whoa.
That's my pet name for you, a little bit.
Come after me.
Yeah, along with my RC from Nicole, she I don't even know if I want to admit this. But she put in a little My Little Pony toy.
Ooh!
She wants me to open it and brush its hair, and I'm not going to do that.
Does that make you a brony?
Nope.
Oh.
That makes me a victim of terrorism. So, yeah.
Self-hating brony.
So, there's that. Thanks, I guess. Sure. Appreciate it. Merry
Love
Christmas.
You, Nicole.
Yep. I got some Okay, I went to Toys R Us. Because I've been hoping that they get the new NECA Predators in, because they finally ditched the old articulated style with the strange hinged hips and put in fully articulated hips for finally. And the first ones that are getting that are out in a wave. It's like a Shaman Predator, Boar Predator, and the City Hunter. But they're all unmasked. And the City Hunter is the one from Predator 2. That's the one that I kind of want. But the mask one is actually showing up in a 2-pack. So I'm going to wait for that. I want that City Hunter, and I want to see the new articulation that NECA put into their Predator figures. But I'm going to wait till I get the mask version, because masked Predators are always cooler than unmasked Predators. So I went there, and I'm like, well, I don't really see anything else to get. Also in the NECA section, they had the new Gears of War figures. And I don't have any attachment to Gears of War, but I know that people had really complained about their past Gears of War figures because of the attempts at the articulation, but I guess the bulky design with the armor and the steroided out dudes just didn't really work all that great. And they had received a lot of criticism, and I had heard that NECA had gone a long way to trying to improve that with the third one. So I was like, it's like $12. I'll pick one up. So I got the, I don't even know her name. Seth, both of you guys would probably know who,
Anya? Whoever the,
yeah, that one.
Anya!
Anya!
Anya! Damn it!
So it was, and I was reading a little bit about her. She was like a radio dispatcher or something, and then ended up in the third game going straight out to the field as a fighter or something like that.
Yep.
So
yeah, by the time you get to the third game, there's not enough people left to have somebody stay back and work
fair,
the radio.
Fair enough.
It's like get a gun, lady.
Yeah, war indeed.
To do.
I'm impressed. NECA is still, like, I had felt like, okay, back when I got, like, when the BioShock 2 figures came out with the Big Sister, like, the way that her hip joints were, was really impressive. And I always felt like NECA was trying to do things that other American toy companies weren't doing, and that was try to improve things, try to include articulation, and not make it look horrible. In the last year or so, it's like, I just felt like NECA had been kind of sitting on their laurels. They hadn't really been doing a whole lot new. So I was really pleasantly surprised with this figure, because she has I don't have many toys that do this. The only ones that I have are the Halo Play Arts, where they have a fully articulated universal shoulder joint, but they also have like a shoulder joint, almost like a scapula joint, that hinges forward and back. So even though the shoulder can move independently, the actual socket that it sits in can hinge forward and back too to give extra movement.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing NECA put that in their figures now is really, really impressive. So, she's actually pretty good. Like I said, it's more of just the fact that I've always kind of been a NECA fan. I like their toys sometimes, even regardless of the franchises they're from, as long as they are articulated and such, because they put out a lot of weird, like, in between things, like their Terminator stuff. Like, it'll have like articulated arms, and then everything from the chest down is static. It's kind of strange. But when they go all out and make a fully articulated line, I think they generally do a pretty good job, and I'm happy to see that they are continuing to try to innovate and, or at least incorporate things that more expensive toys generally have into. And keeping the cheaper price point. So, yeah, she's pretty good. I guess if you're a Gears figure, I think she's worth a shot. It took me a while to find one that didn't have completely derpy eyes, though. Like, most of them were wall-eyed, and one of them, one eye was looking up and one eye was looking down. So,
well, she's not used to being in war, all right? She's a communications person.
I'm confused! I have blonde hair!
Oh, you look strong!
I feel less of a man because I'm obviously missing out on a joke that anybody who's played the game would understand.
I'm just more amused that you're getting so amused by the horrifyingly awful impersonation I'm trying to do of a character.
Anya, I can't tell if you're looking at me or Dom.
Or both. So before I get into the big one, another thing that I got that I really like is I got an art book, and it is by a Shigenori Soejima, who is the guy who does the character designs for the Persona games by Atlas. I'm a huge fan of the Persona games. I think this book was released in Japan a few months ago. And Udon is actually going back and releasing a lot of those Atlas game art books on Amazon, and they're really affordable too. They're like $25, which is about a little more than half the MSRP. So,
oh, not bad.
Man, it is a classy book. Super heavy paper stock. Like the lettering on the front is like gold embossed. It feels like if you were looking at a professional artist's like legitimate professional portfolio. Like it just like you open it up, it doesn't feel like some art book you bought off Amazon. It feels like you walked into some crazy expensive place and it's something that you would pick up on the table like while you're waiting for them to see you for an appointment or something. I don't know.
Is it a book that you would like pointedly put on a coffee table?
I would, yeah. Yeah, if I had a coffee table. I tend not to have coffee tables because they just collect junk.
But. Is it a book that would make you buy a coffee table?
Yes, it is worth right. It is worthy of buying a coffee table just to sit it at a slightly angled. You just set it down, kind of turn it a little bit, and then you just leave it there, and then hopefully someone will come by and enjoy it.
Oh, I see you're looking at my book.
Yeah, it's really nice, really nice book. So I'd recommend it if you are into the Persona games, if you like that guy's art style. For $25 on Amazon, you can't beat it. It is really, really good. So the last thing I got was I got Sideshow Collectibles 1/6 scale Cobra Viper.
Ooh!
Yeah. Previous to this, I only have owned two 1/6 scale figures. Both of them by Medicom. I bought the Medicom Motoko Kusanagi from Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, and earlier this year, I bought the Medicom Rocketeer version. What it was like the third one they did. I forgot the actual version number. It's like version 2.5, I think, or something like that. So this is my first 1/6 scale figure that's not a Medicom, which a lot of 1/6 scale figures will be clapping their hands because Medicom is the brunt of a lot of jokes.
You got a toy with accessories.
Yeah, exactly. And for less of a cost too. Yeah. So, this is a damn impressive figure. It's amazing. And from what I've read too, even the people who have been fully on board with their G.I. Joe stuff from Sideshow since they launched it a couple years ago, there's a lot of opinions that this is one of the best figures that they've done. So that's good. I guess.
I just gotta say. Jesus, that faceplate looks good.
It took me a while to photograph it. I took a few pictures, and then I realized that you could see me sitting there in my t-shirt and underwear when you went to full resolution. Took a while to figure out a way to not reflect everything in the background because it's one thing to photograph the toy. It's one thing to just photograph everything.
The Cobra Viper is the window into your apartment.
Yeah.
And soul.
So it is nice. It is really, really, really nice figure. No matter what you do with this guy, it just sticks out. It is striking. It is awesome. I love they kind of took a little bit of liberties with the helmet. Because normally when you look at a Viper, like that face mask is a little more prominent and squared off a little, I guess. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have those like bits coming around the jaw and cheeks.
And I love what they did with it. I think it looks great. I like it. I think more, I like this more than if they would have, because the, like with Sideshow, all the Sideshow Joe stuff is kind of their take on it. It's not – they've never used an existing design. They always take like the Snake Eyes, and then it's like, well, what if Snake Eyes was a real dude with real equipment? Same with like their Firefly and stuff. It's like they try to put like a realistic twist onto it and then kind of put their own liberties in there of like modern military sensibilities and stuff. The Viper overall is really close to – the original design, but they did kind of do their own thing with like the shin guards, I think, or I've never seen those before on an old Viper design. And they kind of changed the helmet just a little bit with the proportions. And I really like what they did.
Well, he looks like he's dressed to actually survive a basic firefight now.
Yeah. And all his web gear and stuff, these like all the magazines. You unvelcro them, and you can take the magazines out. Comes with two assault rifles with removable sights and removable forward pistol grip. Optional suppressor. He's got like a machete.
How much was this guy?
Like 135.
You know, if he's like, if is he like basically sold out now, or did they?
He wasn't. No, I don't think he is. I can recommend this to anyone. it's really good.
There's two reasons why I want to resist this. Number one, I know that if I buy one, I am going to spend the next year feeling compelled to buy a second one. And I know that when I have two of them, I'm going to feel compelled to track down their Cobra Commander to put between them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to go well. But, man, this thing looks... And he still has the goggles, too.
Yep. Which, apparently that's Seth's litmus test. Either either they have the goggles and they look great, or they don't have the goggles and they look stupid. But
the goggles look even tinier.
The first picture that you tweeted out had no goggles, and the pictures Krasis was tweeting had no goggles, and I had even seen some like official pictures of the helmet without goggles, and I wasn't even sure if it came with goggles.
Yeah,
so I was like, where the hell is the goggles? Because in my book, you're not a real Viper unless you have goggles on your helmet that has a big reflective face shield.
Yeah.
Making those goggles completely useless.
But if they're
not there, then, you know, you'll fail as a Viper.
And he also has, like, Velcro, like, on his web gear, on his sleeves, on his backpack. And he comes with crazy amounts of little patches where you can just, like, customize your dude and give him, like, his own insignias and stuff, like unit patches and everything.
Oh, so they encourage you to buy, like, 18 of these guys and make multiple. Oh, good.
Yep.
Oh, awesome. Great.
And another cool surprise, too, though, was because previous to this figure actually being released, his face mask was just painted silver. So no one knew that it was actually going to be chrome. At least I didn't know, unless you follow, like, because some Sideshow employees actually do post on the unofficial Sideshow Freaks forums.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have their own set of forums that I know of, but... maybe they had spoiled it ahead of time, but when the actual figure came out was the first that I know me and Krasis both had seen that it actually had the chromed faceplate, because it was just like painted like a glossy silver. So it's great. It's easily the best 1/6 scale figure that I own, but I only own three, and I'm definitely not an authority on this by any means. But
no, I mean,
he is awesome. He is really
the rifle
really
looks
awesome.
Really cool too.
Yeah, I always look at Sideshow as like they're the guys who are like the step below Hot Toys, but this doesn't make me think that immediately. This makes me think this is a really friggin' cool looking toy that. Because the other G.I. Joe toys, I've often shared the viewpoint of many, which is that I am uninterested in the good guys. I want the freaky-looking sci-fi bad guys.
Yep.
And the Cobra Viper is a perfect example of that. That's why I skipped their Cobra Commander, was that they went with the hood on him, which is fine, but it pushed him to realism just enough for me to go, like, maybe I don't need to do this.
Well, I think they're going to make a Cobra Commander with the chrome visor, from what I keep hearing people say that, so I don't know what the source is, but it's not like I spend a lot of time on those other forums.
Oh, I need to get two of these to go with the faceplate Cobra Commander.
Yeah, and okay, well, I can help push you over a little bit.
Good.
The EX version, okay, with all Sideshow first-party items, they all have a regular version that gets released both by themselves and to other retailers. But they always have an EX version, which is the one that you order directly from them. And it usually comes with an extra part. So the EX version was sold out like way early on in pre-order. But a lot of people, you know, when these figures come out, you can cancel up to the day before it ships.
Mm-hmm.
So they always have some cancellations. But the after I got mine, the EX version came back in stock, and it comes with an entirely... like alternate head with a, it's like a leather helmeted head with a, and you can put the goggles over it or not, but so you actually get like two unique head sculpts, both the helmeted chrome visor and then just a regular soldier dude. So if you were to buy two, you could have them actually look totally unique.
Oh, God, and if I buy this off here, I'm going to start getting those goddamn sideshow points Crasis always talks about.
And you can use FlexPay as well. You can pay it in two payments.
And sideshow points, so I can get stupid things I don't want, because I have points for them. And then I can just go right down that... Oh, you know, I wanted to get the Shadow Trooper, because I just listened to that episode the other week.
But, yeah, I can recommend this without fear. It is awesome. It is really, really good. And I think you should get one.
I won't have the money till next month. So if this thing sells out before, then I'll have an excuse. But God damn it. That's that's a toy that I would have wanted them to get right too, because I like the Cobra.
Oh, Viper. Yeah, I love the Viper. I am a G.I. Joe fan at a distance. I mean, I watched it as a kid. It was never my primary thing. But there have always been characters I've liked, and I dig the toy designs for the most part. But the Viper has always just been a design that has just stuck with me, and I've loved it. And I've bought several incarnations of the 3 3/4-inch Vipers over the year. So as soon as this came up, I had it pre-ordered. Now, there's no way I was not going to own this. And it was it came out better than I expected. It just, even in hand, it's just wow. You don't have to have awesome pictures to make this thing look cool. Just no matter what you do with it, this dude looks like a badass.
This FlexPay stuff is some evil ass stuff. Like, oh, you can't afford it right now. That's okay. Just pay half of it now. Pay the other half later. Oh, well, I do have half of it now. I'll just pay that right now. And yeah.
And one of my favorite things about the Vipers is when the Cobra Troopers were originally available on their file card, it talked about like how dangerous they were and they're highly trained soldiers and they're capable of using all NATO and Eastern Bloc firearms. And then the Vipers come out and the Vipers file card is about how they could use all these firearms and how well trained and dangerous they are. And then later releases of the Cobra Troopers were changed to, oh, they're barely even organized into squads. They're a bunch of knuckleheads who can't do nothing right. And it's like the Vipers completely downgraded the Cobra Troopers. So
the other reason why this thing would be so nice is I have a couple 6-scale toys, and a lot of them tend to be like single standing alone hero characters like Bruce Lee or Batman. Or it's, you know, like fighting Jesus Christ from Ashley Wood, who is another hero character-looking guy, or Ashley Wood robots. A Cobra Viper is the perfect, like, dude that is always opposing all the other good guys, because he's just the guy in the mask. He's, like, got a perfect... I'm doing that Crasis thing now of, like, justifying the purchase out loud during the recording.
Man. Yeah, but I'm justifying it along with you.
I know.
Because I have it. It's in my hand right now, looks great.
I'm so happy you're doing
here's
that.
A picture. Here's a picture.
I needed another picture. That's there. Exactly what I wanted to see. Let's see another picture.
Here's another one. For the record, for the listener, I am finding pictures
there's one with two of them standing with Cobra Commander.
Yeah, click the next one, yeah.
Oh, yeah, good!
That one doesn't have its goggles on. Look how stupid it is.
Yeah, he looks like a dimbat.
Look how shiny those faceplates
like,
are.
Hey, idiot, where's your goggles? And he's like, I left them. I flushed them down the toilet by accident.
Actually, you know what? I'm glad I didn't pick up the Cobra Commander, because these guys are like a head taller than him. I want a Cobra Commander who's as tall as these guys.
Well, they got helmets on, so.
I know, but still.
One thing that 3 3/4-inch figures tend to do is.
But look at their shoulder lines. Cobra Commander is like 5 feet tall.
You know, he's, you know,
he's got small man syndrome.
He's a hunchy.
Those chrome face plates are so nice. Well, good. That was helpful.
Glad I could be of service. Yeah. Can't wait to hear your take on it when you get one.
Well, you know, I got to wait until the holiday season is, you know, past. Crisis, throw me a bone here.
They're even well bigger than the Cobra Troopers.
I know! It's like these are like the biologically enhanced super soldier guys. Poor Cobra Troopers are all like, what's a goggle? Why would I want a couple of them?
Well, that's another thing that I love. Like, they can't use the goggles when they have those helmets on.
Yeah.
Dude, what are you going to do?
Well, that's what's funny about that EX version. It actually comes with the unhelmeted head, so you can actually, for the first time in the history of their unit, they can use their goggles.
I like the idea that all those Cobra Troopers in the back, they're all like, it's raining, and there's this, hey guys, can we borrow the, you got faceplates, can we borrow the goggles? No. Oh.
Yeah, it's like, that's just rubbing it in on the Cobra Troopers, like we're the new, like, frontline dudes, you're just the knuckleheads.
You guys get,
like,
army hats.
So much so that, like, this is how much equipment and gear we get. We have gear that we can't even use, but we still got it.
And you can't have it.
Yeah, your eyeballs just have to be exposed.
I love that, like, the Cobra Troopers look at these guys, and then they look at themselves, and they have army hats and bandanas. And that's it. Well, aside from this wonderful, lovely little thing here, did you get anything else?
That's it. I mean, I could go on for another half hour about why I think you should get one of these.
But... Yeah.
But I'll just, when all this is edited, you can just listen to this over and over again.
Of course.
So it just played in loop.
Yeah, so. that would be a perfect plan, and that would lead me down the right path. I'm really sure. I got some off-topic stuff. Thanks so much, Santa Claus. That's what I needed. I got some stuff off-topic this week as well. And I also a decent little whack of it, so I'll be shooting pictures your guys' way, and I'll just chat a little bit about each piece. The guy who does Glios also put in $1,000 towards the Kickstarter to a project called the I always forget what the O stands for. The OMFG figures, it's a project of basically five guys designed five little guy like figure guys, and then five other guys sculpted these five figure guys, pretty much. Give or take a few details. And this was a Kickstarter project, and these guys were basically done in the same vein as Muscle Men or Monster in My Pocket. And so what happened is Matt Dowdy, who does Glios, he put in $1,000 along with a few other sites to get special colorways done for their own web stores. And then apparently Matt also paid a ton of extra money on shipping to have his air shipped over so that he could get these out as soon as possible and have people actually get these in hand, in part to raise hype for the other colorways that are going to be coming out over the next month or two. So he put them up, and they were $12 for the five figures, which I think is a pretty good deal, because they're cast in the same plastic that Glios figures use, which is an extremely durable PVC. They are unpainted, but they are, like, I'm going to be doing a light black ink wash on mine. I really like a couple of these guys. Stroll doesn't really do it for me, but I love Multiskull, and I love Crawdad Kid, and King Castor got cooler when I turned him around and saw the giant power generator on his back. And the Phantom Outhouse is just kind of awesome for the giant walking punchline that it is. But I really like these little guys. They're all, like, you know, a couple inches tall, just like Monster in My Pocket, pretty much. The cool thing was that also in this order, because shipping to Canada from the Glios store is a flat rate $20, so I always try to order a bunch of stuff to make it even out, and then it always ends up actually costing them like $23-24 to ship it my way, which is kind of cool. So I also ordered a pair of Glians, which are the new little Army Man Glios figure, and I also ordered six Axis joint sets in colors I didn't have yet. So I got the package, and I opened it up, and now Matt Dowdy and Jesse as well, they tend to every now and then throw in extras when you order stuff from them, especially when you order a bunch of stuff from them. But I got I opened this box and was kind of in disbelief, and I almost wasn't sure how much I should even say about this, because I don't want to set the wrong image on what expectations should be when you order Glios toys. It might have just been because it was this time of year and they dug up a bunch of extra stuff, but or maybe it's because it was shipping to Canada and, like, you wanted to even out that flat rate. I don't know what caused this to happen, but in my box, I actually was it was short one of the two Glians, but I don't really care because he threw in a Phazon robot, which is a little Glios robot that looks, you know, he's got like googly pipe arms, and that kind of balanced out the missing Glion. He also threw in a second set of OMFG figures, so now I have, like, a spare set to paint up, pretty much. He also threw in two Axis joint sets in clear green, which are not available anymore, and he threw in a little Glios Traveler guy in clear yellow, which is also not available anymore. I'd also ordered one set of wheels. So for $2, you get four wheels in one color. They plug into any Glios porthole, and they actually spin and roll. So I ordered one set of wheels. I also got an extra Ziploc bag with another four set of wheels in each of the different colors of wheels. So I got, like, a whack of extra stuff in my box, and it felt like a real nice bit of holiday cheer, if anything. I don't know. I was really, really thankful and kind of gushed on Twitter a little bit about Matt being a gentleman. But that was the really cool Glios box I got in the mail. And then stemming off that, one of the other things in Ichabod's box he sent me were he had these two little dudes. This is another Glios thing. These are little guys called Kraboths. They're sold in sets of two, and they're usually painted. Like, you get one painted one and one in clear plastic. They're tiny little 2-inch tall crab men with a gun for an arm and a pincer for another arm. They're just like five parts. And there were two Kraboths that I always really wanted to get, and they came out years ago. And
they're kind of like Meyer Lurks.
Yeah, they kind of like Meyer Lurks, except they're tiny. They're like midget Lurks. And these two were the ones I was really after because Glios rekindled my love of glow in the dark plastic. And the one on the left, the flesh colored one, he glows red in the dark, and the one on the right glows your usual glow in the dark green in the dark. And so Ichabod had one of each of those, and he threw them in the box. And I felt really bad because I remember he said that they were one of the one things he kept from his brief time with Glios. So I'm thankful, but I feel bad that they ended up here and not staying with him. I'm not sure. I don't know. I have my German guilt complex or something, I guess. But I got more glowy plastic, and I got a whole bunch of glow in the dark Glios bits, so I can actually pull off the limbs of that little Kraboth dude and like bulk him out with, like, robot parts and joints and stuff, and I want to see what happens when I do that. So that's the Glios stuff I did this week. I also got some Bugmans that I had actually bought a while ago and just recently had sent over from the island. The first one of which is, like, the buggiest Bugman bug that ever bugged. He's a villain design. They made him in very limited quantities, but I really had to have him. He's called Uva. He's one of the villains from last year's show, Oz. And if you see what he looks like, you will completely understand why I felt a massive craving for this toy, because he's like a guy made out of bugs and is really nicely painted. I really was enjoying the experience of seeing this thing in person. And it's a lot of really well-sculpted details. Everything on him is a unique part. Nothing's reused. He's a little bit asymmetrical. And, like, even those collections of legs on the, like, beneath his pectorals are all separate pieces of plastic painted up and glued over top of that part of the body. He's gorgeous to look at. The only bummer is he doesn't have a lot of spare hands, but boo-hoo. He has a claw, and he has antennas on his shoulders. I also got a dude in purple armor with swords that are as big as he is, which is one of the many versions of Kamen Rider Kuga. This is the last Kuga I needed, so I now have all of the Kugas except for the one who's identical to one I have, except that he has black eyes instead of red eyes. And the cool thing about this figure is that the sword he comes with, I had no idea, were so enormous. They are literally about as tall as he is, and you get two of them. And he looks pretty cool when you have him just standing around with both swords at. I also discovered that when I take pictures of this guy with my crappy iPhone 3G camera, he looks blue in TwitPic. So my apologies to fans of purple everywhere for my misrepresentation of your favorite color. And the last figure art I got was a Super Sentai guy called Gokai Blue. I'm just going to share one picture that explains why I like this figure. He comes with two accessories that let him use five swords at once instead of two swords at once, because he does this once in the show. And in the show, they never really explain how it works, and on the toy, they just basically glue a bunch of swords together and give them one handle. And I kind of like the ludicrous idea of this dude waving five swords around at the same time and succeeding. So I was quite happy to get all those onto my lovely little bookshelf. The other two things I got this week were also from the Ichabod Christmas cheer. The first one was, I don't mean to shock you guys, but I now have physical proof of another Shocker toy actually existing. This is Scud, the disposable assassin. I actually really like this figure. Mine, he's missing the base, and he doesn't have the logo paint app on his chest. It doesn't look like it was scraped off. It just looks like they didn't actually put it on there. And he doesn't come with the is. It's just Scud with his gun hands and his non-gunned hands. And the figure is fantastic! Like, the posability on him is really well done, even though the shoulders are really weird. Because those shoulders, the parts where they're attached, the top of his torso, they're attached with a single tiny ball joint. So they have a really weirdly limited but not limited range. Like, they can move a whole lot, but in a very specific way. The cool thing about him is that because his legs are so poseable, and he's got just, like every joint on him, even if it moves in a limited way, it moves in a quirky way. And so any pose you put him in looks like right out of a comic book page. It's a really well-done toy. It's all friction joints, like ball joints, much like the Max. And, again, this is another figure. They're 2 for 2 with me now. The Max and Scud, two fantastic figures. I'm told they're the best toys Shocker has actually done. So maybe I've just seen the best of the best. But looking at these two toys, it really bums me out that Shocker Toys did not, you know, get this stuff out in a timely fashion and did not expand from this, as far as I know. Like, if they had spent more time expanding on their ability to put out really cool toys like these and less time, like, arguing with message boards and whatnot and then getting subpoenaed or whatever at their panels at conventions, they would be a really, really strong company. I think they still could be. But they've got to take hold of especially what they did in Scud and the Max. If they expand on those two figures and do more stuff on their level of quality, these guys could be really, really major players. And that was, I think, my favorite experience in getting a hold of these Shocker toys, is that Shocker toys actually make pretty good toys. I was really impressed. I don't know, have either of you guys ever actually read Scud, the Disposable Assassin?
No, I've seen that design before.
Yeah, I never read Scud, but I'm familiar with Rob Schraub, who created him. I've seen a bunch of other stuff that Schraub had been involved in. Like, he did the, I don't know if you guys remember or ever saw it, it was a few years back, there were a bunch of shorts online, Twiggers Holiday.
Sounds familiar.
Rob Schraub did all, he directed those, and I think he played Twigger, if I remember correctly. But he also directed the majority of the episodes of the Sarah Silverman program on Comedy Central.
I did read that. I went reading up on Scud after I messed around with this figure. Apparently this figure is what pushed him to finish Scud in 2007. When he did like the final four issues a few years after the big cliffhanger ending. So this, it's,
and he's a big Doctor Who fan.
Oh, I hate this toy now. Also, I gotta say, the way that they do the head is like for this design is perfect. It's kind of limited, but and it attaches just like the shoulders do. But unlike the shoulders, it feels right the way it was done, because just how much it can look up and around for being a weird little cylinder stuck on a thin little body. The shoulders, I really think, could have been done way better than this, and they're easily the biggest problem with this toy. But it's still a really well done figure, and I'm. Like, I am really happy to have this thing standing on my desk for all, like this figure is making me want to go and buy the complete collection of Scud, so that I know more about the toy I've got sitting here right now. It's very well done. I'm into it. And the last thing that
if you watch this video in your leisure, Rob Schraub plays the leader. Or not the leader, the master in this video. Anyway, go ahead.
Liam Lynch. The last thing I got in that box, this is another bit of a story here, but long story short, to kick it off, it was a set of Halo Mega Bloks. And this came from the reaction I had to the reactions of the interview I did with the Mega Bloks representative at New York Comic Con, where I noted that I was really surprised how many people were getting, like, violently loyal to their chosen brand of building block toy. And I said, I had no idea people take Lego versus Mega Bloks versus Creo this seriously. I thought Creo was just, like, a funny thing that Transformers fans were yelling at each other about. I didn't know there was, like, a long-standing loyalty blood feud between the fans of Mega Bloks and the fans of Lego. And so I was like, I kind of now want to get a Mega Bloks set and a newer Lego set and then put together a Creo set and just see how they all feel next to each other and see what there's any like majorly discernible differences I can feel myself. So I can have like an opinion on it. And then he said, hey, you want my Warthog? Cause I don't really want it. And I was like, okay, sure. So I haven't put it together yet.
I work for Mega Bloks, but I am firmly in the Lego camp, so I don't even want this. Do you want it?
There were people so mad, like, because in the interview, I was like, "Hey, that's kind of cool that you guys are doing, you know, Power Rangers Samurai. That's some cool stuff for Mega Bloks." And I got these comments that were like, "I'm going to play them up a little bit," but they were kind of like, "This Mega Bloks will never be good with their mushy soap-like plastic. They're an insult to the building block community." And I was like, "Whoa." I had no idea that people got this mad about Mega Bloks. And then I think it was Judgment McGodley on Twitter made the very good point saying, well, really, they're just toy fans for a toy franchise you're not into getting mad about their toy franchise. And I was like, you know, that's a very good point. That's actually probably the entire explanation for all of this. But I'm looking forward to putting it together because it's got a little Master Chief guy and it's got a little Covenant guy. And the Covenant guy has a little gun platform, and the Master Chief guy has a friggin' truck, and it's kind of unfair. But I want to also put the little gun platform on top of the truck, and then get all the Halo fans mad at me because they're like, "That never happened in Halo." But that rounds out my. Oh, there was one other thing in the box. Also, Ichabod knows me too well. He's an American dude who sent me some toys. So the thing that buffered the top of the box was a large package of Nutter Butter, because we don't have Nutter Butter in Canada, and I like Nutter Butter. So now I have cookies for Christmas. Thank you, Ichabod.
I see those every day. What's the big deal?
Yeah, you see those every day. You know what? I never see those. They are like the one thing missing from Canada to make Canada perfect. It's like this weird agreement Canada and America had, where America was like, listen, whatever you do, all right, whatever happens, we keep the Nutter Butter, and thus we maintain the balance of the universe. Canada was like, all right, eh? But we get to keep the Kinder Eggs. You know what a Kinder Egg is?
Yes. My brother shipped a bunch of them home when he was in Germany.
That's exactly what I had done with this Nutter Butter. Had it shipped, but to here. Because we don't got it here. It bums me out. Missing part of the equation. Wait, I forgot about this. He also sent me a Power Rangers Samurai trading card and figure. So I now have the Samurai Megazord and the Samurai Megazord trading card. And I'm not going to trade with anybody because I got the best card because it's a robot with a samurai hat. Screw all of you. Interesting tidbit I can share about this figure as well is that Power Rangers Samurai is apparently a titanic success from everything I have been told by the fandom it is associated with. To the point where Bandai has been grabbing random Japanese Shinkenger items and then packaging them up and selling them here. So these figures and trading cards are a bunch of trading cards using... There's a collectible card game in Japan for Super Sentai. So they're using those cards, except with all the rules removed and just with a big American Samurai Megazord slapped on the front. And then the little figures are from a Gashapon series of keychain figures for Shinkenger. I'm really kind of chuckling at it because it's like... Bandai of America's like, oh my god, people are buying Power Rangers more than ever. What do we do? Go just grab handfuls of Bandai of Japan's warehouse leftovers. Grab anything you could find. And then this guy runs back. He's like, I got a bunch of figots and I got a bunch of keychains. And like, all right, package them up. I love how random all this stuff is. Like, just hashed together in like a big plastic envelope. Anyway, that's the last thing I got this week. I got a lot of stuff this week. I'm spoiled. Thank you, Ichabod. It's all you. Anyway, that is our show this week. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can feel free to call the WTF voicemail hotline at area code 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-WTF0. Call it. Leave us stuff. And then make sure that you actually hang up in a way that we can hear, or I get really disappointed.
Try to say your voice. Clearly and concisely.
Say your name.
So we can credit you, because it's hard to introduce you when it's just like,
hey guys, this is Rosbov coming at you this week.
Got it.
Hey guys, this is Magnum. And I just wanted to tell PR I love his reviews and keep doing them. Anyway, my question for you guys is this. Now, bite into the words. Speak with grandiosity. You're standing on the stage of the top of your house, and you're just like, hello, this is Optimus Prime 1984 at yahoo.google, and I want to ask you what your favorite slash fiction is. Thank you! And then loudly hang up your phone, even if you don't have one. Just slam something down, then turn the recording off. That's my perfect voicemail. Anyway, thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Seth Buzzard and Gog Dog, for attending once again. And we'll talk to you next week. Merry Christmas, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
You know what would make a great Christmas present?
What?
You buy yourself a Viper.
Look, I shouldn't give in to the... It's egotistical to buy yourself a Christmas present on Christmas like that. I mean, he would... I should buy it on Boxing Day. I mean, that makes way more sense. So, I would have had that. Never stop.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.